thought it was safe to turn on your radio.
Something fresh and exciting. Somebody with a sock personality that'll sweep people right off their feet.
Where is he? What is he up to? What other terrors can he unleash at will?
Starring your genial host, renowned writer, art collector, and teller of strange tales.
What fiendish power did he possess? Where did he come from? Who is this man?
Believe me.
It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network for a Friday. Talk radio the way our founders intended. America, with a swap drop to $1.2 trillion spending bill at 2:30 in the morning. It's 1,012 pages long, about 500,000 words. The average person reads 300 words a minute. It only takes 70 days to read it all if you don't sleep. They're voting on it now. Day 1,163. He put the Eric in America. Say hello to EZ.
What's up?
Good afternoon. Putting the heat in Heather.
Hey, guys.
Double H is here. We'll hear from her. Ask Heather in the next hour. Dark History Hour 3. Movie Man Mike. Top of the final hour. And your precious remarks delivered to the Florida Man Radio app in between. Well, Letitia James is aiming to seize Trump's 370-acre Seven Springs estate. I didn't even know he had this place. It is 50,000 square feet, 15 bedrooms, 60 total rooms, three pools, and of course, a bowling alley. I don't think it's going to go over well, and nor does Frank Luntz from, here he is with CNN.
All right, Frank. The politics of this. Folks in the Biden campaign are already starting to refer to Donald Trump as Broke Don, which is interesting. And then there is the possibility that the New York Attorney General, Letitia James, would have to start or would start seizing assets, maybe even buildings. How do you think that would play?
I want you to remember this moment and don't forget it. If the New York Attorney General starts to take his homes away, starts to seize his assets, it's all going to be on camera. Pundits are going to sit there and scream about this. This man cannot be elected. You're going to create the greatest victimhood of 2024, and you're going to elect Donald Trump. If they take his stuff, he's going to say that this is proof that the federal government and the establishment and the swamp in Washington and all the politicians across the country and the attorneys generals and all of this, that this is a conspiracy to deny him the presidency. He's going to go up in the polls just like he went up every single time they indicted him. The indictment, let's not talk about whether it's justified or not, but it will prove the things that he's saying on the campaign trail, and he will go up, and it may just elect him president. Do not forget that. And I say this to the Attorney General right now. If you play politics on this, this is what the Secretaries of State did in Colorado and what they did in, I believe, is Maine. His numbers went up in both states.
It won't be a good look. Because you know it'll be a media storm. Cameras all over the place. Her showing up or somebody putting a padlock on a door. Or,
she'll be there with a padlock.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
I agree with Frank Luntz. It could be the biggest blunder of all. And I think that people don't realize... Well, so they must at least see what happens in the polls when they indict him and indict him and indict him. Princess of Wales is making her statement?
Yeah, she has cancer.
Oh, what kind of cancer?
I didn't been able to listen to the...
We'll get the heights later. for example, they thought they were going to be geniuses and take away Trump's secret weapon in his Twitter handle. And they took him off Twitter. They silenced him. They wanted to hurt him. They wanted to silence him, so they did it. He went off and started Truth Social. And although he has been reinstalled on Twitter or X and hasn't chosen to use it yet, he started Truth Social. It didn't do too well, but today the Digital World Acquisition Corp shareholders are voting on acquiring Truth Social to take it public. Trump stands to gain a payday in excess of $3 billion. That's a screw up, I think. I thought they were going to set their sights on Trump Tower the most, and maybe they'll do both of these things or try. He claims to have almost $500 million in cash right now, so he could post the bond himself in cash. I'm sure he would like to keep free of some of his cash, but you know, can you imagine the cameras rolling as they move Trump his name off of the Trump Tower?
Yeah, my understanding is he's got quite a few liens still against Trump Tower, so it doesn't financially actually make a lot of for them to take it. Yeah,
this Seven Springs estate is he bought it for $7.5 million back in the 90s. It was built in 1919. Eugene Meyer, former publisher of the Post and former chairman of the Federal Reserve, he bought it in 96. They brought in 500 Italian masons. It's got a main mansion, 50,000 square feet, carriage houses, each with their own unique Tudor style charm, and another mansion built in 1919 by H.J. Hines of the Ketchup People. Pretty awesome place. 50,000 square foot. He was going to put a golf course up there. Too much crap for the neighborhoods. Things spreads over three counties. You know, the environmentalists and blah, blah, blah. But apparently it was their home base for a long, long time for the family.
Is it too much to get a kick out of the guy that loves ketchup as much as he does, bought a house that from the Hines family?
It really is the best ketchup, Hines. Hunch doesn't compare. I think they seize one property, and that's it. It just shoots him through the roof. That would prove everything he said. 2:32 in the morning, Swamp released a $1.2 trillion spending bill. Some say they read it as a little higher. The House has less than 24 hours to review it. It's about 500,000 words over 1,012 pages. It's got, as you can imagine, a tremendous amount of crap in it. Here is a breakdown. This is Eli Crane.
All right, hey guys, I want to make a quick video talking to you guys about this minibus. Over 1,000 pages of awesomeness right here that I won't be voting on tomorrow. Many conservatives won't be voting on this bill. I'm just going to go ahead and read some of the highlights of this bill for you guys. I didn't memorize them all, but basically this is going to cost you, the American taxpayer, about $1.65 trillion. This is part two. We voted on the other minibus. Last week, it doesn't secure the border. It funds mass parole. It funds mass asylum. It subsidizes the gun control lobby. Funds Biden's Green New Deal. Funds all of DEI. There's about 1,400 earmarks in it, and that's just to name a few, guys. It's way too much money. And more importantly, guys, if we ever want to get out of this trajectory of spending this country into the ground, which we absolutely are, we're $34 trillion in debt. We've got about $2 trillion annual deficit every single year. We've got a woke and weaponized government that's turned on the American people in so many different ways. We got to quit doing this crap. And it's just sad because we have the majority in the House. We should be fighting. We should be doing better than this.
Yeah, you're not. I doubt it gets by. Who knows?
I think it already did pass, didn't it?
Did it? The whole thing passed?
Through the House, yeah.
Do you have the Republican tallies?
It was definitely Democrat pushed. I'll get the numbers here, though.
Well, yeah, it's got a lot of. I mean, I don't know why they're still funding DEI programs, but that is happening. Yesterday, I believe it was yesterday, it's already been blamed on Donald Trump. A couple hundred migrants broke through razor wire, knocked over guards that were armed and illegally crossed the El Paso border they literally broke into the United States.
The final vote on that was 286 to 134, 185 Democrats, 101 Republicans voting in favor of the measure.
Jesus. They are wearing heavy gloves, winter coats, so they could plow into this razor wire. They said the people that were there, the post was down there taking video, they said they're almost 99% men. I have a video or audio, but it's just screaming and rioting. Normalize this? These people broke down a razor wire barrier and charged guards, knocking them down. I mean, why did these guards shoot?
Because it would have been just an absolute international nightmare. I actually, as much as they probably should have, there's good great respect for those guardsmen to not, because it would have been just an absolute nightmare. To have the visual of them gunning down people coming over a barrier.
Well, maybe it'll send a message to others. they didn't see any children. They didn't see any children in this group, but they did say the men were saying, "We have women and children, and we're hungry. Help, help, they're kids." Near Gate 36, next to the highway, El Paso. They did push them back, but some members were arrested. The rest of the people of the group were brought into the United States for processing once it calmed down a little bit. The illegals they encountered will be taken to a process center. So they win. I don't know why. I mean, you could walk very peacefully up to the, just walk over, just wave to the guy and stand there and wait till the truck comes to get you. And you can come on in. They arrested a senior MS-13 gang leader, one of the FBI's most wanted at the southern border. He went to the proper border and tried to cross into San Diego because that's where, you know, there's some sanctuary people there. His name is Freddie Ivan Jandres Parada. Known as his nickname, Lucky De Parkview. Lucky De Park, one word capitalized, View, one word capitalized. It's the weirdest gang name I've ever heard.
Not a great gang name.
No, not. He is being held in federal jail in San Diego, pending his transfer to a federal custody in New York to await his trial. Two other main leaders are also missing. They believe they have already entered the United States. This guy's got a ton of terrorism charges against him, his alleged role in ordering numerous acts of violence against civilians and law enforcement, rival gang members, drug distribution, extortion, all of it. The other two that are MIA right now, Ranfla, they're the part of the Spanish gang, Ranfla Nacional, Cesar Humberto Lomberio Lopez, Hugo Armando Quinteros Mineros, they're still at large. Most of these guys were in custody for years, most in El Salvador. No big deal. Well, that's pretty, you know. They say the Border Patrol is in a state of anarchy right now. 100 after this incident, they can't believe it. They stormed the way in. They've got National Guard there as well as the Border Patrol agents themselves, but they accused the Biden administration of creating anarchy after this event. And what did how did KJP put it?
The White House sent out a press release saying that this is all Trump's fault. That's because, the best way to put it. They basically said that, you know, he told Trump, all his guys to say no against that other bill that actually wouldn't have done anything for this area either. But and because of that, you can see what's happening now.
Yeah, because Republicans wouldn't sign their wild bill with the tons of spending in Ukraine and everything else. Yeah, this was packed in there.
Do you know if any of them did make it into the interior of the United States?
Yes, many of these people did get processed by Border Patrol under Title 8, which is what is typically used for the what we know as catch and release. These are people that are mainly released into the country. So this sends the message to people around the world that even if you act like this, you can probably get into the country. And I think they continue to push these boundaries and to see what they can get away with. And here they got away with some really, really scary stuff and, you know, appeared to be assaulting some of the National Guardsmen. It was totally out of control.
And it looks like they went through a razor wire that looks like it was on the border. And then they ran, I don't know, 20 yards, 30 yards up to the gate that Texas has put up, and they were still allowed in. It's been a rough government transition in Haiti. You can call it that. They are in the midst there of the, quote, transition council. But it's kind of been marred by shooting that left the gang leader dead. Political groups are finalizing the transition council to take over from the absent government. A police operation killed the head of the Delmas 95 gang, Ernst Yulme, also known as Ty Gregg.
Aw, they got Ty Gregg?
Ty Gregg. A day after another gang leader was killed in an apparent resurgence of vigilante justice, Ty Gregg, a member of Jimmy Barbecue Cherizier's alliance, marks a setback for the gangs to take back more of the city. Well, what's the transition council going to do once they're formed?
Well, they're going to bring Barbecue in and
set up his government for him.
Just have a couple guys like get together and see what Barbecue's demands are.
They're tasked with appointing a replacement for the prime minister. Secretary General of the UN welcomes reports that Haitian stakeholders have all nominated representatives to the transitional presidential council. The 9-member council had been expected to finalize within a few days of Henry's resignation, but there's been some, you know, unavoidable delays in the form of burning corpses in the street, among other things. How long before we're inundated with Haitians?
I mean, we're going to start immediately mass migration again as well. That'll bring a bunch over.
Asylum. I heard today that the dates they're getting now are up to 2035. Jesus. 2035. And it's never going to,
there's no way that the person is going to be there at 2035. When you're talking 12 years later, just imagine where you're going to be 12 years from now. They're not going to be there. They're going to move on.
Oh, yeah.
There's going to be other stuff that's going to happen in that time period.
Here's Chip Roy. He's pissed.
You vote for this, you own it. You own the release of illegal aliens with notices to appear in court as far out as 2035 and growing. And limited knowledge to where they even are. You own it. You own the unlawful mass parole programs, the use of the CBP One app. The funding you're voting for tomorrow will fund that. Of over 1 million individuals, including the known member of a Venezuelan prison gang who violently murdered Lake and Riley. You own that. It's not good enough to pass a bill last week and name after Lake and Riley and then come here and write the check to the very people who are responsible for allowing it to occur.
He's really ticked. He goes on and on. I don't have time for it, though, but It didn't work. When we return, the April 8th eclipse is freaking some people out. The FAA, I remember the eclipse in 2017. I don't remember the FAA handing out warnings and, you know, telling you, I mean, there are people telling you to go get groceries and make sure you have gas if you're in the pathway of the total eclipse. FAA is warning people. I mean, there's a lot of flights that are going to be up there specifically to watch the eclipse, flying during the eclipse itself.
Aliens.
All right. I mean, we'll get some of it. We're not going to get 100% of it, but you know, there are hot spots in Oklahoma. I'll get to that. They're bringing in the National Guard for some of the areas. What are they worried about?
Just the mass influx of people that are coming into those small counties and things like that.
The eclipse lasts what? 20 minutes, 30 minutes?
Yeah,
for it starts to when it's gone?
You got 100,000 people coming into a county that maybe has a couple thousand people total.
Is this the last time we're going to see an eclipse for a while?
No, I mean, apparently it's a really good one.
Ah.
We don't here in the U.S. get a lot of the really clean ones.
Well, I'll be fine watching it from here. Stick around. Mike Flynn says there's a Black Swan event coming. We'll talk about that too. Hang on. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. Did they put emotion in the
vacation? Everyone's favorite blonde from Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
She put it in.
Yeah, I don't know that it's a good deal to remove Johnson after you. You just removed a speaker. This one didn't turn out to be what you liked. You want to remove him?
Especially after you spent, what was it, 15, 20 votes they went through to get to Johnson out of nowhere?
That's right.
So it's not a good look. Maybe people are not happy with the fact that he went through with this, but it's not. Now is not the time to immediately put a motion to vacate on there.
Yeah. Here is Kate Middleton's statement.
I want to take this opportunity to say thank you personally for all the wonderful messages of support and for your understanding whilst I've been recovering from surgery. It has been an incredibly tough couple of months for our entire family, but I've had a fantastic medical team who have taken great care of me, for which I'm so grateful. In January, I underwent major abdominal surgery in London, and at the time, it was thought that my condition was non-cancerous. The surgery was successful. However, tests after the operation found cancer had been present. My medical team therefore advised that I should undergo a course of preventative chemotherapy, and I'm now in the early stages of that treatment. This, of course, came as a huge shock, and William and I have been doing everything we can to process and manage this privately for the sake of our young family.
You think the Royal Wiggery Shop will whip up a hairdo in case she loses her hair and she'll look exactly like she... They might have a backup princess wig, right?
Yeah, or a clone princess, just in case.
As you can imagine, this has taken time.
I hate that she has to announce this because, you know, it's a personal thing. I guess you have to in that position. Now the king has got cancer. She's got cancer.
Yeah, I mean, I think they tried their hardest to get through this, but that whole, I think yesterday they caught people trying to hack into the system to get her medical records. They were saying, all right, fine. We'll tell you that she's going through a little chemo.
Fine. It has taken me time to recover from major surgery in order to start my treatment. But most importantly, it has taken us time to explain everything to George, Charlotte, and Louis in a way that's appropriate for them and to reassure them that I'm going to be okay. As I've said to them, I am well and getting stronger every day by focusing on the things that will help me heal in my mind, body, and spirits.
All right. Good luck to her. God bless you. Sorry about your luck. And sorry you got to share it with the whole world. That is a bit weird. You could just hack into a hospital system to find out what her diagnosis is.
I mean, yeah, and you've got people inside the country basically saying, she make her come out and tell us now or she's dead. You're lying to us.
That's true. Maybe that's why the rumors are swirling about William and that other lady, because he might be, you know, working on a backup in case things don't go right. He can't be a bachelor prince, right? For long, anyway. Or a widower.
What is with people? Okay, What is with royalty, though, when your side lady is always much less attractive than your current wife? What is going on, guys?
Maybe that's real, what they really want. But, you know, at the time when the queen was around, she demanded that you have a certain look, you know.
I mean, I'm sure it's all love and everything, but...
That's why Princess Di was chosen over Camilla. And, yeah, you're right. That girl that he allegedly is seeing is not, not like... She's not Camilla Parker Bowles.
Yeah, she's still...
Well, Camilla Parker Bowles... I've read it. She sucked the chrome off a trailer here, so that's why she got that gig, because other royalty people don't do that stuff. all right, so the FAA is warning travelers and pilots. Why would they warn pilots? That the total solar eclipse in April could snarl air traffic, especially in airports located in what's known as the path of totality, where you'll see 100% eclipse. They have posted what they call special air traffic procedures on their website yesterday that listed the possible impacts on industry and airports could be subject to operational changes. Operational changes.
I mean, we've got a couple of pilots listen, so I'm sure they may, you know, pipe in on it. But I'm guessing a lot of it's going to come from. There's a lot of people that want to be in the air at that exact moment. So a lot of flights are being scheduled for that same right. And even then, even flights that maybe not were scheduled, there might be a pilot that's like, he's letting off a little bit on the throttle. Like, hey, if we kind of just hang out.
Oh, yeah.
A little slower than normal. So they can see it longer. Yeah, if we're a little slower than normal, we might hit in that range.
I don't know how good the view's going to be from a plane window. I mean, if the sun is right above you, you're screwed. You just see the darkness around you, unless the plane's going to do some hanky, little rolls, barrel rolls.
We're just going to dip the wing a little to the left.
We're just going to dip a little left here and hang on.
Do not stare directly into the sun.
Yeah. No kidding. The last time it happened, I was in, I saw one in Dallas not long ago. And my uncle's neighbor brought out an old x-ray of her dead husband's hip surgery and cut off a piece of the film and said, here, use this. And it's where you can look right at it. It's perfect.
This is Norman's x-rays from his hip surgery. I just cut.
And she's got it right there. Like you see all the screws and the pulse. And
I don't know. It doesn't do anything for me. I don't know.
It's a cool thing.
The sun gets blocked out for a little bit. Guess what, everyone? The sun goes down every night, and it comes back the next day.
That's what I was thinking about the airline industry, because it's like, what, better know how to fly at night? They fly at night all the time. It's just, and it's not going to be complete darkness.
No, I think it is going to be a snarling of so much air flights are going to be trying to be in that general area.
Right.
So the, you know, the paths, there's going to be a ton of people in the same paths. They're going to have to really be.
And every Joe pilot with his private license will be out there and whatever they can, you know, scare up to get a look at it, too. But what I'm getting at is they're not issuing these warnings because something happens during eclipse. That's some type of interference or I don't know. They say 30 million Americans live in the path, and they're expecting millions and millions more to travel to Texas, Ohio. New York is going to get it. The Air Traffic Controllers Association reported air traffic during the previous event increased 20 to 40% at control centers that were in the range of the totality. So I guess a jump in traffic. The National Guard has been deployed for this eclipse in Oklahoma. The Guard said it would assist emergency management to cope with an unprecedented number of tourists. They'll provide first responders as well as units with hazmat response capabilities in case of an incident like an industrial fire. What?
I don't know about you, but when I go to Oklahoma to watch an eclipse, I like to maybe burn down a factory or two.
A paint factory or something. They say the influx of visitors has the potential to overtax local resources. And thanks to the training and experience of our guardsmen working alongside local agencies, we're uniquely qualified to support our fellow Oklahomans. McCurtain Counting contains that the city of Ida Bell, NASA has predicted will be along among the 13 best spots. Well, that's the problem. They shouldn't have told you what the best spots were.
Oh, because that city of Ida Bell wants people there.
Yeah, Ida Bell. It doesn't sound like a very big city, but they might, you know.
Now, they're going to keep Maude's Diner open all day long.
That's what I'm saying. Maude may make double pies. The total eclipse when the sun is... in Ida Bell, somewhere between 145 and 149, they believe, will be a complete eclipse. Officials are voicing concern. Man, I mean, that seems like a lot of panic about people just going somewhere to watch an eclipse. I mean, it's not like I don't know.
I think because it is going to be, you get 100,000 people there, you know, if there's an accident or some kids get, you know, there's a stampede of people.
Cars on the road, pulling over.
Yeah, you know, and it's a hospital that maybe sees 100 people a year.
Right.
Type of thing. You know, they're small town, something or another.
The Oklahoma Department of Emergency Management also suggested considering visiting viewing spots, neighboring states that may be less busy. Going to move from southern Mexico across the east into New England. Not hearing any other states saying, hey, look out, get the National Guard in here. It's going to be dark for about 30 minutes in the middle of the day. I don't hear, you know, claims of, you know, you hear the full moon, the crime comes up. It is a full moon. That's why it's a totality eclipse. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what it is. They're concerned that the combination of a full moon and a total eclipse could cause people to go bananas.
Yes, that's how you get daytime werewolves, and it's very difficult. I can't handle it.
Representative David Trone, a Democrat from Maryland, a front runner in what could be the most closely watched Senate races this year, let a little racial slur slip during the House Budget Committee hearing. We've talked about this word before. I'm going to say it one time, and I probably told you my story about it 100 times. So he he was speaking about during the hearing about tax policy. Shalonda Young, the director of the Office of Budget and Management, was testifying before the committee, and he said, quote, so this Republican jigaboo, it's the tax rate that's stopping business investment. It's just completely faulty by people who have never run a business. They've never been there. They don't have a clue what they're talking about. There's another word he could have – I mean, there's a lot of
He kind of apologized, and he was going. He said I was going for a different word, and I used
bugaboo. Is probably yeah.
Yeah, he's going to say bugaboo.
Okay, but he didn't.
Yeah, and also said it as he was looking directly at a black Republican.
He said, "Today, while attempting to use the word bugaboo in a hearing, I used a phrase that is offensive. That word has long, dark, terrible history. Should never be used at any time, anywhere, in any conversation. I'll tell you where it shouldn't be used: in the back seat of Mrs. Throckmorton's International Harvester travel all that I was being carpooled to school in, because my grandfather told me that this new tricycle that looked like a big wheel, but it was black and gold and not yellow and blue, like a big wheel, was called that word." And we didn't care. It didn't mean anything else to us.
Yeah, you'd never heard it before. So, of course, that tricycle is called that.
I'd heard my grandfather use other words. I'm glad he didn't call it. I probably would have gotten thrown out of Mrs. Throckmorton's vehicle that day. And we were having a conversation in the car. I'm sitting in the middle of the back seat. And they said, what'd you guys do this weekend? We went there. Well, my grandfather got us a new thing. It's called a mmm. And then I just felt her. She just swung over, backhanded me. And I said, what was that for? And she said, you know what it's for. I was like, about that time we pulled up, got up to the school and went inside. Then my mom's like, she was like, what happened to your lip? I had a little bit of fat lip. I said, Miss Throckmorton slapped me. She goes, what? What happened? And I said, I don't know. And I broke down the conversation with her about exactly what I said. She goes, oh, okay. Well, wait till your father can say and talk with you about something. He said, and then he went on. I recognize that as a white man, I have privilege, and as an elected official, I have the responsibility for the words I use, especially in the heat of the moment. Regardless of what I meant to say, I shouldn't have used that language. I would never accidentally say that word.
And, well, yeah, that means that's – I always like when they say that, well, I accidentally used that word. The only time you accidentally use a word like that is it that is in your lexicon daily or yes. a lot of the time. That's or a word frequently. That you say a lot.
Yeah, you say it frequently. Absolutely.
I mean, I get it. It's a fun word sounding wise. It's just it's used as a racial slur. You don't get to say it anymore.
We thought it was a great word. And we would, my grandparents lived in, it was a little 10-minute drive from our house. And we'd all get in a pile in the station wagon. And on the way, every Sunday we'd go there and ride bicycles and whatever and drink soda pop while everyone made brunch. And we'd talk about it on the way there. Oh, I can't wait to ride that. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I'm gonna ride, you know. And write my parents. They never said a word about it. They let us go out in the world with that word in our lexicon. We had zero idea. God knows how many other kids I introduced to that word at school. Oh, we had this new thing. It's called a... They probably went home. Shannon Burke, he said he got it. Blah, blah, blah. I want one. I know LGBTQ people think they've got it rough here. You know, the guy won't use your right pronouns. You break down in tears. Someone dead names you. It's the worst thing in the world. You've got LGBTQ privilege, my friends. You've got queer privilege. Russia has added the LGBT movement to the official state list of extremists and terrorists. If you're an LGBTQ activist, you will be designated as an extremist. I don't know what that means there, but I don't. If I lived in Russia, I don't want to be on that list.
Yeah, it's definitely not a list I want to be on.
They say representatives of gay and transgender people feel there will be arrests and prosecutions. You want to talk about putting people into a camp? The list is maintained by an agency called Rosfin Monitoring. That has powers to freeze bank accounts of the people that might be on it. There are currently 14,000 people and entities on it. They range from Al-Qaeda to the United States tech giant Meta, associates of the late Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny, and international LGBTQ activists, and their structural units. Vlad thinks that Western attitudes are decadent. They are in contrast to the family society that he promotes. And they've really tightened restrictions over the last decade. Among other steps, it passed laws outlawing the promotion of non-traditional sexual relations. And banned legal or medical changes of gender. Non-traditional sexual. So it's against the law to have gay sex there.
Yes.
Next up, gulags. I mean, how long for gulags?
Well, I think
they have gulags there.
Yeah, I mean, I think they get them almost immediately.
They might have some gay guys tossed in there.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yikes. I'm not thinking a Russian dude's doing too well in a gulag in a Siberian tundra.
Man, I don't think anybody does well in a gulag in a Siberian tundra.
We mentioned this briefly yesterday. Leading Wisconsin Democrat Kimberly Zapata found guilty on all counts in her voter fraud scheme involving, of all things, military ballots. What a scumbag move. She, let me get the particulars. Law enforcement, somebody sent military ballots in the names of people that never lived in the home. And what one woman believed was an effort to alert her to how easy it is to commit voting fraud. Milwaukee Elections Commissioner, Commission Director Claire Woodall said that she believes Zapata was attempting to point out that military ballots can be requested and sent out without a photo ID or even a registration to the public. The Democrats say they were just trying to prove how easy it was to fake ballots. See, what I was doing was, exhibiting how easy this fraud is. Found guilty on all counts for illegally requesting ballots. I'll never... She's Representative Branjan received three authentic military ballots to her home addressed to Holly, a woman she did not know and who had never lived there. Voter fraud.
And then the one that Liberal Larry was talking about yesterday is Stephanie Lambert, who's a pro-Trump lawyer, not a lawyer for Trump. And she was arrested for leaking Dominion emails from a server.
Oh.
They hacked into... surrendered on a bench warrant, and she participated in a two-hour hearing Dominion voting systems defamation case against her client, ex-Overstock CEO Patrick Byrne. She attempted election system breach in Michigan is what it was.
She attempted
yes,
to breach the
to
system.
To hack a Dominion machine.
Oh. She wasn't successful.
It just says attempted. I don't know how far she got into it.
If we were to have, you know what a black swan event is?
I
didn't know what it was either. I thought it was like a military term. But General Flynn touched on it, black swan events, that are considered, quote, unexpected occurrences with potentially severe consequences. He predicts that we'll see one before the election. It stems from his experience in military operations, threat assessment domestically, internationally. He emphasized the need for vigilance and preparation in response to such potential scenarios, including the possibility that certain actors may go to great lengths to avoid a traditional election if they think they cannot win fairly. So he's predicting a black swan event where we've got to find a non-traditional, like we did during the
COVID,
pandemic.
Yeah.
Mail-in ballot crazy. He said what these people are trying to come up with is, and this is for everyone listening, they're going to try to come up with things that are unknowable. In the world of military operations or even in the world of just things, he said, we call them black swan events. They're things that nobody imagined could occur, and yet they did. And then they have these incredibly most devastating effects. So I think that's what we've got to be thinking about. We have to be prepared on our side to immediately respond to these scenarios. But it's awfully vague, isn't it? He said, I think a scenario is these people just decide, look, there's no way in the world that we can win a legitimate fair election, so let's not have one. So in order to not have one, how do they create conditions in order to not have an election? Now, that's a scenario. It's not a scenario that I want to have as an outcome, but that is a scenario that I can imagine. He said, there's no way they can win a legitimate fair election. Because I guess I'm not the only one predicting the same type of black swan event. Ron Paul said in a recent Tucker Carlson interview, I think we're reaching the point where some sudden thing is going to happen. I believe that in the theory of the black swan, yes, it's going to pop up. It's not going to be controllable. Wake up, Americans. We live in very uncertain times. Yikes. I mean, it's going to pop up and not be controllable.
Sounds like some sort of terroristic act or disease. Things that are... Yeah. That would not be a controllable thing.
Catherine Harris said the same thing on CBS last year, doing a year-end CBS News correspondent roundtable. She was the senior investigative correspondent at that time. She made a grim prediction for 2024, referring to a potential black swan event, national security crisis with unpredictable high impact. She says, well, she was asked about what the future might hold under the Biden regime. She said, well, mine's a little dark. I just feel a lot of concern that 2024 may be the year of a black swan event, a national security event with high impact, very hard to predict and control. She outlined some factors. She said, there's a number of concerns I have that factor into that. Not only this sort of enduring heightened threat level that we're facing, the wars in Israel and Ukraine, and we're so divided as a country in ways we haven't seen before. And I think that just creates fertile ground for adversaries like North Korea, China, and Iran. That's what concerns me the most. I mean, She's concerned about North Korea?
I mean, we need to keep an eye on them. They do have some military capability and a guy that's insane, so.
Who are you more concerned about? North Korea, China, Iran, players from outside the country, or somebody within that's already snuck in here?
Internal. Yeah. I'm not worried about external. I just don't think they, currently that's a thing we need to be worrying about right now. But definitely internal, there's a chance that there's something that would happen.
All right, when we return, we'll get to ask Heather. Also, Planet Fitness, their situation ain't getting any better. I don't know if we're going to see Budweiser Part 2 or Bud Light Part 2. You won't believe what they're doing, how far they're bending over to help their the dudes with penises get into the ladies' room. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network.
On the warm.
Planet Fitness will now assign a staffer in order to assist transgender clients in the women's restroom. Telling other women, if you're uncomfortable, you can just go change in the stall. Is that the toilet stall?
Well, yeah, I think they have like shower stalls that you can close or changing stalls.
The lady that started, Patricia Silva, whose membership was revoked hours after she posted the photo of the dude, said another friend of mine went to the gym the other day, and he was in there again shaving his face. He's dressed as a man. His hair is cut short, and it appears that he was dressed, shaving his face, getting ready to leave. He has an employee who is assisting him in the bathroom. This woman told my friend that if she's uncomfortable, she can go into the stall.
Wow.
Imagine that. Imagine you're a woman. You go into the gym you pay for. There's a dude in there. And you're like, whoa. And then right next to the dude is an employee of said gym with the shirt on and the name tag, just kind of sitting there with their arms folded. And you say, hey, what's going on? And they go, hey, if you're uncomfortable with it, go into the stall. This woman is queer.
Also, is that on the schedule? Does the person like, hey.
Maybe they should put a sign on the front door, like a open and close.
Well, it's like more like
a penis. There's a penis in here.
It's Monday shift. You're like, oh, man, I got put on. I got
trans duty.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people have canceled their memberships. One lady said my husband and I were going to join, but we decided on another one. This is in Alaska. We canceled our membership this morning, said another person who got 34 heart emojis. There are 11 states, including Florida, Alabama, and Utah, that regulate bathroom access for transgender people. The bad news for Planet Fitness is go woke or go broke. Their value plunged by more than $400 million after this event hit the socials.
Yeah, I think it went from like selling at $68 to $55 or something like that.
Not good. I mean, that's it. Why don't people understand? This is not popular with anybody but the person in question and their activist supporters.
I don't get it when
you isolate,
punish 90% of the people there.
95% of the people, yeah. Maybe. Yes, just to accommodate a few. In this case, one guy who's got short hair, shaving his face. He says, I'm LGBT queer transitioning. Also in that bathroom was a rather frightened-looking 12-year-old girl with a towel wrapped around her. You know, keep it up. Keep it up. The market will adjust. And maybe some of these companies out there will realize that they may get a bad rap for not letting trans people use the opposite bat or whatever. You know what I'm talking about. But by and large, it's supported. As a matter of fact, when you look at the states that have these measures, they're incredibly popular with everybody, except for a handful of freaks and activists.
It's I don't understand the denying the needs of many for the few.
I don't either. Going,
okay, if this,
they
this
demand it.
Person wants to be in that bathroom for whatever reason, why doesn't that person go to the stall with the employee standing outside the stall?
Right.
Instead of forcing all the other women in there to go into the stalls to accommodate the one person.
And the thing, remember we played that audio yesterday of the guy, it was totally obviously a dude, and he said he's a woman, and he must be addressed as such, and she said, why? And he said, because when you call me a man, it makes me feel uncomfortable. Well, in this case, if you recall, when the lady went in the room and found the man with his handler in there, she said, if you feel uncomfortable, you go in there. His comfort is more important. I mean, what she's saying is his comfort is, one guy's comfort is more important to Planet Fitness than all of the women members of that gym. Because he's LGBT queer transitioning. One day, this thing, the bottom is going to fall out of it. And people will realize, maybe they won't, I don't know, maybe they won't, but people will realize that your comfort, making you comfortable, is alienating 98% of the rest of the people that we depend on for our income. Beat it. Oakland, California. Man, it's got a lot of problems. One of them is, we know that everyone's leaving. They don't have an In-N-Out Burger, no Denny's, no Starbucks.
Can't go into the Taco Bell. Can't go through the drive-thru. Yeah, yeah. You can't use cash at the Taco Bell. You got to use a card.
Well, they also have another problem on their hand. Abandoned vehicles. The Oakland Department of Transportation says nearly 14,000 cars, 13,856, are abandoned. City ran out of space to store these abandoned cars in their lots and has even been forced to rent more space to hold the rest of them. They're spending $1 million to store abandoned vehicles. And car theft is the reason. Oakland Police Department won't respond to calls about an abandoned or stolen vehicle. It won't respond to your stolen vehicle call. Unless it's blocking a driveway. They're instead instructed to call 311. And to nobody's surprise, their abandoned vehicles dominate all the service calls there. They're just being dumped everywhere, blocking ways into businesses, into schools. One guy said, some park right in front of our gate. I can't even leave. If you intervene, they'll shoot you.
So they're using it to block off their gang house.
You think?
Yeah, that's the only reason they would put a bunch of abandoned vehicles in front of their driveway, and then if you tried to move it, they'd shoot at you.
Oh. So these are cars that have been carjacked, I guess, conceivably, or just outright stolen, and they use them, you know, wherever they want, and then leave them somewhere.
Yeah, it's probably a lot of them.
Oakland City Council approved funding to hire more tow companies, but they did not resolve the problem of getting the cars currently parked in the lots back to their owners. The victims of car theft there, the ones that are stuck with a tow bill. In some instances, the city will auction off cars that have been sitting in lots too long. A woman in St. Louis had her Pontiac G6 sold without even being informed the car was found. I would imagine that these cars are stolen. They reported to their insurance company. The insurance company has made them whole again, and they're just down there.
Yeah, nobody's coming to claim them. So you just have cars just sitting there because nobody come to claim them. The person that got it stolen got the money back, so they don't care now anymore to look for the vehicle.
Right. Not on top of that, probably the oldest man in Oakland, 102-year-old man bound to a wheelchair. He's got a fence around his house, and you know the outside part of his fence has been spray painted with graffiti. And they want him to clean it up. Problem is, he's 102 and bound to a wheelchair. This guy's lived there and paid taxes there in that city for 80 years.
I bet you he wants to get out of there so badly now.
Yeah. He got a city violation citation from Oakland ordering him to remove the graffiti by Tuesday, March 19th, and face a fine of $1,100 plus $1,277 for each reinspection that fails. His daughter said it's a joke. If you drive around this city and see graffiti everywhere, I don't know what to say. Victor said when he was younger, he would paint over the graffiti himself using nothing but a roller and a paintbrush. He said it was easy because I was a contractor, but I'll be 103 in 2 months. That slowed me up a little bit. He said, look, he told the station keeping up with the graffiti that is hard because once it's covered, new graffiti appears that you've just cleaned a canvas for that idiot to come back. And he says, look, I look across the street at city buildings. They're covered in graffiti. No one's doing anything about it.
Yeah, it's such a, of all the other problems they got going on to harass a 102-year-old man with a $1,000 fine plus $1,000 each time they come out after that, it's ridiculous. I mean, come on. You don't want to lock up criminals. You don't want to lock up the guy that's even doing the graffitiing because you won't. You won't arrest that guy.
Right. You don't want to arrest that guy because you can't arrest criminals. That's the meansy.
So, I mean, why are you even worried about it? This is just, he used to go out there and be like, whoa, whoa, whoa. This is just cultural enrichment. Look
right.
At the beautiful art that they've done.
This is the culture of Oakland, and you want to destroy it. It's everywhere else. Is everybody else getting slapped with fines? So, what a nightmare. I hate to see it. Although, I know that, what I understand, Oakland's been an asshole for some time. Right?
Yeah, it's
bad.
Great. Yeah, I mean, it's got some parts to it, but not much of it.
John Hinckley, the man that shot Reagan, trying to kill him, is now whining that he's a victim of cancel culture. All I did was try to kill Ronald Reagan, and now nobody wants to talk to me. He was scheduled to perform at a venue. Man, he's a musician. His songs blow. The performance was postponed indefinitely. He told the Post that on the Instagram page of the Hotel Huxley that promoted it, but later another post said the venue included a message that, you guessed it, postponed until further notice. I think it's fair to say, he said, I'm a victim of cancel culture. Dude.
You tried to shoot a president to impress a preteen Jodie Foster, so... I think you're canceled, man. You're not in prison anymore.
Yeah,
you should
I'm
be
not
happy
sure
with that.
What part is it? You try to kill a president, or you try to do it to impress an underage girl who was an actress you thought was attractive?
Yeah, you're not in prison anymore, dude. Be happy with that.
Yeah. He said, they book me, and then the show gets announced, and then the venue starts getting backlash. The owners always cave and they canceled. It happened to me so many times. It's kind of what I expect. I don't really get that upset. I'm just not the person I used to be. I have a different mindset than I did a long time ago. I don't want to dwell on the past. Let's stay in the present.
Well, put a couple songs out on your SoundCloud and get people to pay for it that way.
Right. I mean, I'm not going to pay a whole lot of money, but it'd be a cool autograph to have.
It would be, I mean, I you're not going to enjoy the concert.
And I love Ronald Reagan.
You see it just for the whole theatrics of the whole thing.
Yeah, it's bizarre. You've got a guy that tried to shoot to kill a president is playing a guitar at a hotel lounge.
I mean, what happened to the real good reality TV shows? Because this is definitely one they should.
Oh, yeah.
What was it used to be called? The one where they had like Vern Troyer and it was all like Surreal Life. Did you imagine a Surreal Life with Hinckley in there?
Oh, my God, that would be awesome.
With Flava Flav and Hinckley in the same house.
And John Hinckley. Heather?
Oh.
Do you have a letter for us? Send your questions to heatherhasanswers@gmail.com. heatherhasanswers@gmail.com. The weirder, the better.
Okay, this one's pretty serious. Hello, friends on the radio. I've never met you. You have no idea who I am, but you guys have absolutely been friends in this very dark period of life, and you have been a source of redirecting my anger. Best of all, you never seem to get mad at me for screaming at my smart device, so thanks for that. Here's the heavy. My husband died in June of 2023. He was 39. He was our daughter's best friend. She is 6. He got a sample of weed from a client because his back hurt. That weed happened to be laced with fentanyl and xylazine. Kind of ironic, he was against opioids and thought Mary Jane was safe. The night it happened, I accidentally fell asleep in our 9-year-old's room, putting him to bed. The next morning, I found him dead.
Jesus.
Our youngest is asking how he died, and I'm not sure how to tell her that he did a drug that had poison in it and he didn't know. How do you say this in age-appropriate language? Before he died, he had some health problems, undiagnosed, and lost his balance a lot and had two seizures. So she asked me if he fell down again. She doesn't even know what drugs are. And before you ask, I am in therapy, and the kids attend a group through the National Alliance for Children's Grief. Beth in Tampa.
Oh, Beth. God bless you. That's heavy.
Yeah.
6 and 9?
Yes.
I think it's a... it's going to be a rough conversation. But I can't think of a better way to explain the dangers that kids face, that everybody faces, and potential recreational drugs that may have some fentanyl in them. And you could explain to them that your father wasn't a drug addict, and they live in Florida, they'll understand that marijuana is legal for medical reasons here, mm-hmm. and that's why you get it. I don't know where the guy got it. I'm not putting the blame on him. Yeah. I'm not trying to tell your kid. I'm not saying, well, so tell your kids to go to a dispensary, a reputable, you know, tell them to go to Cookies. I mean, I think it's a
concern these days.
And this is a teaching opportunity if I've ever seen one in my life. I know it's going to be difficult to do. You need to tell them the truth. And the truth isn't that their father is a drug addict. The truth is their father had a situation that he's trying to relieve his pain. What was his pain?
He hurt his back.
Yeah.
Does weed fix that?
It can relax you enough that you... Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
What do you think?
I think if you... I agree with you. That is a good teaching moment. If you do not want to add the... narcotic part to it, the being an illegal narcotic or maybe illegal for certain parts in here in Florida, you could tell them, at least the younger one that may not understand it, that it was given, someone gave him a medicine that a doctor didn't prescribe him.
That's also good.
And let them...
that is really good.
And nice, let them understand, hey, do not take medicine from people that are not a doctor, that a doctor hasn't told you to have this, to take this medicine.
I wonder if his friend is in trouble.
That's probably the last thing on her mind now.
Yeah. And his friend might have known. Probably didn't know either. Yeah.
Right. He might not have known and probably feels terrible for it.
39 years old.
Right.
Jeez. I'm so sorry. Yeah. And two little kids.
I can't even imagine her healing from her grief while trying to keep the kids, you know, alive and fed and dealing with their grief.
To lose somebody unexpectedly like that is really hard to get your head around for a long, long time. Or if ever. I don't know if you know.
Yeah, but I think definitely be frank about it. Be upfront with them about it. If you want to kind of change the wording of it a little bit that, you know, you don't want to make feel like that. But don't sugarcoat so much of it that they don't understand what actually happened.
Right. Yeah.
And use it as a teaching moment. Use it as because a 9-year-old is heading into the world we're in right now. Sadly, that 9-year-old's within a year, if not now, of kids experimenting with things.
Oh,
like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe you can't tell them two different stories. You got to have the conversation with them together. Yeah, that because that 9-year-old kid maybe presented in a way like, look, a friend of your father's gave him a drug that he thought it would help him, but that drug wasn't prescribed for your father. It was prescribed for that for his friend. So you should never, ever, ever, ever
take drugs from a person that offers it to you that's not a doctor.
Yes, it's not a doctor.
Yeah. I know that one's kind of short. Do you want me to do another short one?
What do you got? Give me another short one.
My daughter's 24 and has moved out with her boyfriend. I never see or hear from her again. I thought we had a good relationship when she was living at home. We would go out together, have drinks together, just hang out. She told me her business and I told her mine. And then she just up and moves and I miss my child. I think her new boyfriend is a red flag. They do everything together. I don't like the way that she doesn't come around her family anymore. Is it just me? Am I overprotective and jealous? How do I get my adult child to come home and visit me? Thank you. Not ready to be an empty nester.
24?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, that's... There's an... I don't know when the age is, but my daughter is an adult. She's that age and is living in... And go to school in Texas. And, I mean, I got a phone call out of her. Or even, you know... I mean, it's tough to communicate with her. She's busy with her friends and doing her thing. And I get that. And I'll text her, like, hey, babe, what's going on? You know, she's getting ready to whatever, blah, how's school? She's graduating in May. And it'll be like... A day and a half later, I'll get a, hey, things pretty good. This is going on and that's going on. So there's no immediate response. And she doesn't want to, well, she'll come back here for holidays. How far away? I guess this woman's daughter lives in the same town.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like very far. And we don't know anything about this guy to know if it's a red flag or if mom just really misses her baby.
Yeah, that's unfair by the mom, too. Because it sounds, don't know anything about this guy, but the fact she said, oh, they hang out together and do a bunch of stuff, sounds like this guy might not be a bad guy.
Right. Plus, it's a new relationship, I understand, or fairly new, and maybe, you know... Yeah, it sounds like she just wants her kid back.
And they're 24. You got to, you know, let them be a peacock and fly there. You know what I mean?
But you don't, you miss things like, you know, my daughter will have conversations with Kim that she wouldn't have with me, like guys she's dating. And then I find out secondhand from Kim and I'll go back to her and go, hey, tell us about this guy. Oh, that's not a big deal. You know, I don't know if she's afraid I'm going to embarrass her, which I used to love to do with her boyfriends when they came over to pick her up. But
that's a dad's right.
it's kind of like a rite of passage.
I don't want my kids to ever leave.
You might change your mind at some point. Matter of fact, I guarantee you, at some point, you will want them to leave. But it is, you know, our boys live down the street and, you know, about
three. Do they come home for dinner?
Yes, a couple times a week they'll pop over. And we try to eat a family meal every Sunday, which we're pretty good at. And we can't do all our catch up and stuff like that. But yeah, one of them comes because he'll like send his mother a text and says, do you have any food?
Has she ever replied with no?
No, it's always, yeah, come on, get some food. I don't know, maybe just call your daughter and say, hey, I'm kind of missing you. Why don't you come over for dinner?
Yeah, set up invite. Hey, let's go hang out and do something. But again, it sounds like she's in a new relationship. As long as the guy's treating her well, you're going to have to, sooner or later, let her go for a little while.
Let him go. Thank you, Heather.
Thank you.
Send your emails to heatherhasanswers@gmail.com. heatherhasanswers@gmail.com. When we return, we will get to your remarks. I'm also going to tell you about a story very oddly timed. Story from the Scientific American about why babies smell so good. Hang on. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. Who got, who beat Kentucky last night?
Oakland. Of Michigan, not Oakland of California.
Who knew they'd be out so quick? Kim is just beside herself. Bijan Robinson. He's from the Falcons?
Yeah, he's from running back from the Falcons.
Perfect bracket right now. That's impressive, man.
I'd like to know if it's his only one. Like, if he only filled out one, he's got a perfect bracket going on right now. That's impressive. I mean, that's...
Who would have thought that Kentucky would have blown out so early?
Well, Kamala Harris picked up Oakland over Kentucky.
Because she thought it was Oakland, California. Yeah.
she picked
that's my people right there. She did what?
She did pick it.
Amazing.
She missed, like, 8 other ones, though, immediately.
What's to keep people from doing a couple of 2, 3, or 4, I guess?
Oh, yeah, I think there's a lot of people that do, like, 10.
Multiple, oh, yeah. You said Joe Biden did a bracket? Obama used to do his bracket. That was a big thing. Obama's bracket then did fall apart.
I know he did one, And then I think it got deleted, and then they uploaded it again, deleted, because it kept having, like, I know the first one I put up had Stanford winning, but spelled Stanford, S-T-A-N-F-U-R-D, Stanford.
Stanford. Well, it's an oddly timed article for the Scientific American. Just a day after our bold and brave leader, Joe Biden, speaking at a Mexican restaurant in Phoenix, Arizona, wandered from the stage into the crowd because he had to smell a little baby. This study in the Journal of Communications Chemistry, they say babies smell sweet. They try to pinpoint the cause of the change because, you know, babies smell great, yet teenagers stink really bad. They sampled 18 infants and toddlers and 18 teenagers, and then they analyzed the samples in a lab to determine what scent chemicals present in each sample. They combined their findings with a previous study of 270 families that also found babies' body odor much more agreeable. Well, no kidding. Then your teenager stinks because he doesn't bathe, and, you know, and he's playing around outside and playing sports.
What are you talking about? There is science behind why our president has to leave from a stage to smell a baby.
That's absolutely right. The compounds that are associated with stink, like funky scents, like grass, cheese, and goat milk, don't exist in infants. Additionally, two naturally occurring steroids with musk-like odors were found only in teens' sweat. So the reason our president runs like a magnet to babies is because the smell is so irresistible that he can't help himself. And it's based in science. You don't see him all over a bunch of teenagers, do you? No.
Well,
preteens.
Yeah.
They're 12. They're not called a teenager.
They got that weird goat smell to them. Can't do it.
Goat. Let's say goat musk. The goats stink.
Mm-hmm.
I think it comes from their nards. Well, I'm not a scientist. The reason you've had to boil your water in Rochester, New York, may make you want to leave Rochester, New York. A fellow by the name of Abdullahi Muya, 29-year-old, climbed over the reservoir fence that feeds the town, and they found his dead body, which had been floating there for some time. If you're wondering why your water, what, have a little bit of funk to it?
Who knows? What's worse is the person that was like, the water's been really good lately. What's going on?
Is it before they boiled it, they thought it was good?
Well, it's been in there for a month. They didn't start boiling it until, they didn't put the boil warning out until yesterday.
They had to get a scuba team to get it, to get the body out of there. It'd been missing for over a month.
So you know he was down up in there, too.
Oh, just, yeah, all just guts coming out. I don't know that I'd ever drink out of those pipes ever again. Right?
Definitely getting some collagen.
Calling them up right away. I bet their business is through the roof this week in Rochester. Well, Rochester's a hot market for us right now. Well, let's get to these remarks, shall we? There's quite a few in there.
All right.
From the Florida Man Radio app, powered by Morris Family Farms and Morganic Meats, it's Archive Heaven over the app, commercial-free podcasts of shows gone by, a favorite of yesterday's show guy, and you can hit the little microphone button at the bottom and leave us, deliver your remarks. Here we go.
Celebrate the clap, come on, let's celebrate.
Okay.
Hey guys, Greg up in Connecticut. Just wanted to touch upon something from yesterday in terms of naming. About 12 years ago, I had the great misfortune of naming my son Hunter. Had all of this information come out about the Biden crime syndicate, I certainly wouldn't have named him such. So, even though we are pasty white, I can certainly sympathize and empathize with the ramifications of what you name your child.
Yeah.
Couldn't agree more.
I wondered, do 12 years as your kid, do other 12-year-olds know about Hunter Biden crack and hookers, and they bully your kid?
I'm sure a little bit.
I'm not going to do that one.
Yeah, where the illegals are tearing down the fences and charging the guards reminds me of that movie Mars Attacks, where the Martians are running around with the little interpreter box saying, "We come in peace," and "We come in peace," while they're blowing the crap out of everything.
Oh, that's a good movie.
Sorry, Uncle Ted's on the treadmill, Easy says, opening up on those illegals coming over the border, would have been bad optics. Not for me. I would have played it on loop if they opened fire. That would have been stronger than Viagra at 1,000 milligrams. Is that wrong? Is that wrong for me to say that?
Oh, I skipped one, didn't I? Wait.
No, you're good.
Oh, yeah.
Man, y'all heard that new Ty Gregg and the Barbecue Boys album? Man, that thing is fire, boy.
Hey, Shannon. Jerry 101.2. Last time I took it. I agree with EZ regarding the National Guard or whoever they were not shooting at those people storming the country. That's exactly what was intended, because that would have been the George Floyd moment or the whatever moment. So, anyway.
Probably. Yeah, that would have given them heroes' funerals.
Oh, yeah. It's the men in the military uniform gunning down the just poor migrants.
Just looking for a better life where everything is free.
Visit.
Hey, guys. Happy Friday here, Captain Jack. Hey, as far as the border goes, I know the military has a microwave generating truck that sends waves out up to 800 yards. And while it is non-lethal, it sure is uncomfortable. It feels like you're heating up from the inside, but it does no lasting damage. I just don't think anybody tried to penetrate that wave coming on in. So where the hell is that truck at?
But what about the wildlife?
Also, if we had migrants popping like popcorn from a microwave truck.
Oh, my God. When I look at that and I see that scene of them tearing down a fence... And just, I'm like they have a right, or I mean, it does seem like an invasion at that point when they're ripping down barbed wire and razor wire with gloves and jackets and hoodies on so they don't get hurt and storming the border wall. I mean, the gate.
Yeah, I personally wouldn't have felt bad at all because they did. That was organized. That wasn't the mass of humanity trying to get through into an area that's a better life.
Right.
They came with gloves and prepared to tear that stuff down. So, one, somebody gave them the equipment to...
And they're bold. They're not afraid to do that in front of several armed National Guardsmen with rifles.
Because they knew that...
They knew that there's no way they'd shoot a migrant coming over this border. Man.
Maybe they should bring back the food taster.
I'm pretty sure they have one, don't you think?
Yes.
Howdy, guys. Nate in Bakersfield, California. With those solar eclipses, the best way to watch it is with a welding hood and a number 9 shade for your lens. I've done it, I think, 3 times now with my welding hood. And, you can see everything perfect. You don't get blinded. It doesn't hurt your eyes. And, yeah, it's all good.
And if you don't have a welding helmet, you're not a welder, grab old Uncle Bob's hip x-rays. Cut it up. Use the dark part.
Shandor, it's Denver in Colorado. Maybe all them South Americans are trying to get to Idabel for the eclipse. That's why they're busting through the southern border. Must be some kind of Aztec thing going to happen. Maybe they're looking to be sacrificed. Be-do-be-do.
Aztec thing.
Dang, Shannon. All those people in that path with solar panel energy, what are they going to do for about 3 or 4 minutes? It's going to be total chaos.
Hey, guys. AJ here in rainy Walton County, Florida today. And I'm an old guy, 50, so... But when I was a kid, there was a show in the 80s called The Bugaboos. And they had a little catchy theme song. And
don't sing
that's
it.
That's all I
don't
got.
Don't sing, thank God.
Beady, beady.
Thank God. I hate it when people go, I'm real old, I'm 50. I'm like, yeah. Damn, all right, sonny.
Okay, good Friday, guys. Trivia question for you. What movie was that racial slur used in that made Bubba Smith turn over a car? Let's see if you got that one. Beat it, beat it, guys. See.
I'm trying to think of all the B movies Bubba Smith was in.
Hey, what's up, guys? Raymond here. You know what? I kind of agree with him. I agree with the Russian president in a way. I'm not against gays or anything like that, but I'm sure it'll put a quick stop to this woke crap. So, in a way, that might be the only way to straighten out this stuff that's going on in our country. Yeah. Great show. Love you guys. Rave it out.
If I was going to have to take a guess, it would probably be...
What
are some of the titles?
Yeah.
Or, I mean, he was in almost all the Police Academy movies, so...
Oh, yeah. It was a Police Academy movie. I don't know. 1, 13, I don't know which one it was, but I think it was... I do... remember him lifting a car, tipping over a car in Police Academy.
Trouble for typing this type of word into Google.
NAACP's in the lobby already. I want to talk to you right now.
I got Don to block me for that one because they hate him worse already.
Yeah, you're so. Right. Let me see. Here we go.
Why can't the one single trans person go into the stall that the gender that they are? And they go in the stall to change, and they can pretend to be a dude or a woman. Like we've got to pretend that you know he's a woman for a couple of minutes. Why can't they just pretend that they're a man for a couple of minutes and go to the men's room, go in the stall?
Okay. I don't understand why. Well, I do understand it. People are saying, well, what about build their own bathroom? A trans bathroom. And then the response would be, well, that makes us feel uncomfortable to be told we feel like a woman. But you use the word trans to describe yourself all the time, so that would be a likely. But then it disrupts all of that. It recognizes, it disrupts everything in terms of, you know, you want to build a restaurant, you got to have 3 bathrooms in it now.
Yeah. So I always had the question, though, is that if you have one trans person that says that one that is changing there, they're like they're the only one, and then another one comes in there, do they feel uncomfortable if they're nude?
Ooh.
Because they feel like a woman, yet they're seeing a male body in what they feel is a woman's space. Now,
will they be grossed out?
I don't know. I mean, what's the
that's a good question.
John Hinckley, the dude that tried to assassinate the president of the United States, was a setup and should not have been gone any further than a firing squad for treason at the time of the action, with the Brady Bill coming in from the reflect of it. This has all been a plot from the long time ago, as it has been for a 200-year administration, has been under its way.
What?
Nobody should be allowed to make any money, not all of.
Two things. First thing is, when a kid is young enough, you can lie to him for a while. And then when they get old enough, you can explain to them that wasn't quite the truth and what the truth
is. That's true.
Second thing is, who the hell's putting fentanyl in
weed?
Why? How? And what? None of it makes any sense.
Yeah. I don't get that at all. Yeah, you're right. You can lie to the kids now. So tell them the friend gave him a prescription. It wasn't for him. And then later, okay, look, I'll come clean now. You understand? It was a joint. God, I can't imagine I've had some great weed, but not smoke a joint and die.
I somehow get the idea that maybe she doesn't know the whole story, or, you know, he actually did some fentanyl in another capacity instead of smoking it on weed. I don't know if I buy that story.
Huh.
Pleading reason for temporary insanity to go to jail and get released after trying to kill a sitting president in our country. This is a 200-year administration at work.
200-year administration.
If you go through history, you see it does cover 200 years. Listen, Kennedy got killed because of the CIA. George Bush was head of CIA. He was to rule. Reagan was to get killed.
Those are his two for this round.
Todd in Daytona. My daughter's 34 now, and she don't take any mess. But when she was in high school, and just out of high school, I'm pretty sure she told every boy she brought to meet me, you know, one of us is my dad, because he's crazy and he'll kill you. But I would just shake their hands, look him dead in the eye, go, how you doing, sir? Nice to meet you. It's all about tone and intonation, right?
Or the words you'd use. I was joking. My daughter was getting in a car, and I leaned down because I'd heard about the guy quite a bit. I had never seen him. And I leaned in to shake his hand and said, hey, I forget his name. He goes, hey, Mr. Burke. I said, you guys have a good time. I just want to get a look at your face in case I need to find you. And that was it. She was so mortified by that.
A different breed of countenance. Hey, man, is that why he kept basing with his daughter? So he can make sure she smell like a newborn baby or a toddler. Keep that smell going until she learn how to do it herself.
You know that on his that Biden uses baby shampoo.
I need you to keep using this Johnson & Johnson no tears shampoo.
No tears. That's right.
Uncle Ted on a treadmill. No one's buying that.
At least he wasn't winded. I wouldn't be able to make a phone call.
Oh, Joe, it's nothing innocent like that. He can smell that adrenochrome on them young kids. You know the story behind that. Be-dee-be-dee.
Adrenochrome, you can't smell outside of a kid. It's only when the kid is super scared or frightened do the numbers go up, right?
I disagree that it would be bad optics as far as shooting the migrants coming to charge the border. I mean, a point has to be made. I think it's the greatest optics to show everyone, hey, this is what happens. We're not here to play around. We are not effing around, guys. Back up.
A couple of warning shots might have been good. In the air, you know, bang, bang.
Yeah, if they had had weapons, they had things like that, you just can't. Be the U.S. Worldview. You can't be the U.S. Shooting a bunch of quote migrants crossing a border.
Yeah, poor migrants.
Speaking of Biden, did you know that a pack of feral pigs can completely consume a pedophile in about 7 minutes? Interesting.
I just happened to, well, not feral, but I happened to know her.
Can get you some pigs.
Like some hogs.
Police Academy. It was funny. Police Academy. I think he was a florist in that one. AJ and Walton County gang, guys.
Thank you, AJ. Man, he's got a lot of memory from a Police Academy movie, doesn't he? Hold on.
The different breed of countenance. Hey, Shando, I hate to say it, but just when I thought that we was out of segregation, it looked like we're going to have to go back. You know, hey, blacks, whites, straights, unstraights, and, you know, transgenders. Everybody had their own everything. And, hey, deal with it that way. Beat it, beat it.
Right. It is insane that we went from fighting segregation to voluntarily going back to it.
Also, unscrates may be the best.
Scrates, unscrates.
Nothing but scrates and unscrates around here.
I love that guy.
Got Natona. Not for nothing. Every time I've seen creepy Sleepy Joe sniff a kid or whatever, they look kind of scared or frightened. There's that.
Man, it's raining in Daytona, isn't it?
Yeah, babies don't want to be smelled.
No. Well, they don't want a strange face, like moving in on an old, wrinkly, strange face, hat moving towards them like a, you know, on attack.
I think I know why Joe Biden likes to smell children. It's kind of the same way like I am when I go into the kitchen and there's like a turkey or a prime rib roasting in the oven. I'd love to get that smell of the meal you're going to have. I think Joe's eaten a few foil-wrapped babies in his time.
Oh, Jesus.
Shannon, don't you know about the 200-year administration? The aliens are sending signals to our brains, through our fillings. Shannon, I'm scared.
Yeah, well, that's why we didn't say the word, sir, because it's not a word we want to say. All right, those are all the remarks we have. Get the app. Hit the little button. We do it again. Powered by Morris Family Farms and Morganic Beats. We do it again in the final hour of the program after Movie Man Mike. We're getting dark.
Yeah, so I always love going back when in the world of medicine and science and things like that, and you see giant advancements and leaps. And sometimes you look in there and you find out that scientists did those giant leaps and advancements by doing the stuff to himself. And that I always just find is
amazing. Experimenting on themselves?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Not animals?
Well, they use animals, but a lot of times used to be really hard to go back to say, hey, we need human test subjects, even tougher is now.
Wow.
You all right. Know a guy in prison, usually.
Always good outcomes? Sometimes? Yeah. All right. That's next. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network.
Florida Man Radio.
We like to keep you informed of medical breakthroughs and happenings around the world. That's why we brought you the story, I think it was yesterday or the day before, about the man who managed to get a coconut in his rectum.
Impressive.
Yeah. This foreign object in the anus story comes from Vietnam, where a 34-year-old man from Quang Ninh province was admitted to the hospital with severe abdominal cramps and stomach aches. I don't know what could be wrong with me. They had an ultrasound which showed he had a foreign body lurking in his abdomen. It caused an intestinal perforation and a life-threatening complication. The patient was given urgent surgery to remove this mystery object. Surgeons, when they opened up the abdomen, they were stunned to see a foot-long live eel in his colon. It was still alive. Everything else went great. They sewed him up. He got a little bit better. And when they asked him, how could this eel have possibly ended up in your belly? He couldn't provide an answer. But medics believe, and they know these types of things, that it entered through his anus, slid up his colon, and somehow entered his abdomen.
Just now, lead with it. If you're going to do these type of things, let the doctor know, hey.
Could you possibly, you know, it's Vietnam. You're bathing in the local Quang Nong River. It's kind of muddy. You don't really see what's going on beneath the surface, and could one have slid up there without you really noticing?
Well, you like this eel was going full speed, and this guy's nude. He's having just his morning bath, and this eel is just fast
as possible. Right up the old, right in the anus.
Took the whole Hershey Highway all the way up there.
No. I believe he bought that eel at a wet market, took it home, and got naked with it, and guided it.
Yeah. This guy went through the wet market, was looking, all right, what are things that are phallic shaped?
Eel. You'd have to know. I mean, you're right. You have to have a very loose anus, right?
For them to be an accident for it to get up in there.
isn't there a fish that wants to swim into your penis in some?
Yeah, that's in it's South America somewhere.
See,
it swims up your urethra or up the urine stream into your urethra. But then I think even then you would know that it's not.
Yeah.
One of the
Hopefully you wear pants in these nasty waters.
I mean, this guy, if this was hypothetically giving this guy the benefit of the doubt that this wasn't for self gratification, he was just like, "Hey, I was swimming in the river and
yeah,
just,
he could. I would have led with
I
that.
I felt a big pain and all. Well, you know, I don't know what happened.
I reached down there and I didn't. First of all, I don't know how long he's had this problem or.
He couldn't have waited too long because he was alive still, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have said, look, I just got out of this murky river. I felt something in my anus, and now it's swimming around inside of me going crazy. You got to get it out of there. I wouldn't have said, I wouldn't have come in the next day.
I think it's one of these BH eels that you hear about. You got to watch out for these suckers.
We got to warn the children.
Well, somebody needs to call the medical community to let everyone know that these eels are going up in there.
Believed to have entered his body through his anus, sliding up his colon, and biting through his intestine. And then just swimming around in his gut. And you could feel it. Can you imagine that?
Just, yeah, that's too much.
There's no way he ate it, right?
No.
And
not in the path that it took.
Yeah. If its head was facing up, it went in that way. Ugh. Let's get darker.
Yeah,
please.
Let's do that.
It's disturbing history with EZ. There's a lot of history out there. Some of it isn't in the books.
I'm pretty sure I remember there's not any scientists here that were testing the tensile strength of the anus, so... Well, we should be okay.
Yeah, I clamped down really hard. Oh, it's a 14-foot-pound of torque on that bad boy.
I took the top off a pinball or a pin. But I, you know, we've seen a lot of, especially during the vaccine stuff when that was being rolled out, and there were a lot of times where you would see them like, all right, I'm going to come out here and I'm going to take the shot. And, you know, they would actually forget to take the cap off it. Or
they get a saline.
Yeah, so I always take, I have great respect out of people that are so belief of their craft.
Yeah.
Certain of their craft that they're willing to use it on themselves to get to that point of human discovery. I mean, you got to be like, hey, you guys aren't going to. I mean, some of these would be literally like Elon Musk being like, all right, crack me open with one of those Neuralink things and let's get this going.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he didn't volunteer to have it done on him, did he?
No, he fried the brains of many monkeys before they even got to a human, so. But we'll start with Scottish scientist John Scott Haldane. He studied the physiology of breathing. He learned about the effects of various dangerous gases can have on the body and the mind, oftentimes by experimenting on himself and sometimes his son. I think it was willingly.
Okay, I hope he.
One such case took place in 1893 when he locked himself in an airtight box, affectionately called the coffin, and remained inside for 8 hours.
Wow.
He breathed the same air over and over and over again and noted the effects this had on, and he discovered the deoxygenating the blood increases its capacity to carry carbon dioxide, a property known today as the Haldane effect.
Haldane effect?
Yeah. So he basically proved that if you were in a room that
you're
going to circulate oxygen out at some point.
He did this just by the way he was feeling, or was there like...
No, he got into a coffin and locked it down and did it basically just stood there and went...
Until he figured that, that's about all I can take before I die?
Yeah, still, you know, start going a little woozy, your eyes start going black.
That's ballsy.
Bang up against the wall. Next up, he investigated dangerous gases in mines. He used the small animals and discovered the lethal culprit is carbon monoxide. Just to be sure, though, he poisoned himself with carbon monoxide in his enclosed chamber to see if the effects were the ones expected.
Wow.
Eventually, he came up with the idea of using small animals, the canary in a coal mine,
canary coal,
as gas detectors into their bodies were affected by it much faster. When World War I broke out, the Germans started using poison gas as a weapon, so Haldane was brought into the front lawn to identify the gas in question, which was chlorine, and to find a solution. Again, his own body was used for the first experiments, and his efforts led him to develop the first gas mask.
Wow.
This guy must have had lungs of power, though, after
after all that punishment. I hope he wasn't a smoker on top of all of it.
He probably was, because this is 1893. So this dude probably had a big old long hand-rolled cigarette and some laudanum for breakfast every morning. David Pritchard, while working in Papua New Guinea late in the 1980s, Dr. David Pritchard made a few interesting observations regarding the locals. The Nectar Americanus parasite, commonly known as the hookworm, was a problem for the population there, but it also weirdly had some unexpected positive side effects as well. Patients who were infected with the parasites were less likely to have any autoimmune-related illnesses, particularly asthma or hay fever.
So it was a good...
ish.
Parasite-ish.
When he got back home to Nottingham University, the doctor was keen to test out his idea and see if there were any real connection between the two factors. However, he had a problem. Hookworms are quite dangerous. Back then, they were responsible for about 65,000 deaths in the tropic every year and about hundreds of thousands of cases of anemia.
Brown hook? What is it?
Hookworm.
Hookworm.
So the British National Health Service Ethics Committee, or the BNHES, wouldn't allow him to use human test subjects unless they knew it was safe. So Pritchard did the only thing that he could do. He used himself as a guinea pig. He infected himself with about 50 hookworms to develop a safe testing technique under lab conditions. He eventually concluded that all subsequent participants should only actually have 10. He went a little overboard, we found out.
How many put in?
50.
Jesus.
That was enough to yield good data without endangering him. It wasn't actually until 2006 the National Health Service finally allowed him to conduct the study using human subjects. And he has found that for some reason, yes, they're still not 100% sure why, but being infected with hookworms, which can cause blood disorders and anemia, but it also reduces autoimmune diseases. I'm not 100% sure. I think probably a lot of the fact that your immune system is getting battered all the time already because of the hookworms being there, that it kind of is like a little bit of poison every day makes you immune to the poison at some point.
Right, right. Doesn't work that way with whiskey, though.
Well,
you're not immune to it. It just takes more.
Yeah, it still kind of makes you immune to it. Dr. Moran Campbell, he was a leading researcher in respiratory problems and the inventor of the Ventimask, a product that is still used today.
Ventimask,
yeah.
Okay.
While he studied all aspects of breathing, his experiments regarding dyspnea are worth mentioning here. It's basically a shortness of breath that we experience when our breathing is impaired. In certain situations like physical exercise is normal, however, it also appears plenty of times when it shouldn't, and Campbell wanted to see exactly what the connection between the condition and the respiratory muscles were. To do so, he came up with an experiment to test his own respiratory muscles under extreme conditions. For starters, he first paralyzed his entire body except for his forearm using curare, a common toxin used for poison dart arrows. This way, he would not be able to control his body movements, but he would be completely awake for the whole experiment. Afterwards, Campbell was hooked up to a respirator since he was unable to breathe on his own now. The respirator was turned off, and the next few minutes involved Campbell slowly suffocating to see how his body reacted.
Jesus. I take some balls.
The experiment itself actually wasn't even particularly useful. By his own admission, Campbell later stated that being paralyzed using the curare was nothing like paralysis, though prolonged. So basically...
it wasn't good enough, or?
Well, no, he said that it actually, I was too paralyzed for it to make any sense. No human is going to be that paralyzed without dying in the first place.
Good Lord.
As Dr. Campbell showed, not every self-experiment has a positive definitive result. However, things can sometimes get even worse, which is like the case of Dr. Horace Wells, a dentist who was among the first to introduce the use of anesthesia in dentistry. That's right. Remember that before that. They punched you in the face.
They didn't have the juice.
Got a shot of whiskey and hoped that the doctor was quick.
Oh.
Specifically, he pioneered the use of nitrous oxide, laughing gas, as a painkiller to use during tooth extraction. To test the efficacy of the gas, he used it as an anesthesia and had one of his own teeth extracted. The process did prove to be quite successful at first, and Wells performed several more extractions with no complications. Afterward, he felt it was finally time to take the show to the big time. He scheduled a demonstration at Massachusetts General Hospital, but the gas was not administered properly to the patient, and the patient freaked out and started howling in pain.
It doesn't work for some people?
Apparently not to this guy.
Wow.
That he was testing him on. Now, a disgraced dentist, Wells moved to Europe to continue his research. When he returned to America, Wells discovered the nitrous oxide was out and ether and chloroform were in. Everyone Good had changed Lord. Over to ether and chloroform. So he started experimenting with chloroform the best way he knew how.
On himself.
Yep. Unfortunately, back then, the effect of prolonged chloroform exposure wasn't quite known. And after a week of inhaling the gas, Wells went absolutely insane. It does cause insanity.
Really?
Yep. At one point, he threw a container of sulfuric acid on some prostitutes, and that got him thrown in prison.
Oh, my Lord. That's terrible. That made him so mad and crazy, he wanted to hurt prostitutes.
Yeah, he threw some acid at prostitutes.
Jesus.
When his mind finally cleared, the chloroform finally kind of came back to him. He was so overcome with the guilt of tossing said acid on prostitutes that he committed suicide.
When he finally came to his senses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he remembered that how much he actually really liked those prostitutes.
And how now it's so difficult for him to get a prostitute because they've all heard about him and they're all against
him. You throw acid at two prostitutes and everybody hears about it. You don't get to hang out with prostitutes
anymore. No more horrors for you, buddy.
Of course, as humans, we actually use circadian rhythm. Some people better than others. I think I have a really good one.
Like it's not bad.
I can, if I go to bed, usually I'll go to bed at 10 o'clock and without fail about 6 a.m.
I'm like an hour ahead of you. Well, no, last night I went to bed at midnight, but I got up at 7.
Yeah, so I haven't had to set an alarm in forever. I just don't. I set one, but then
I only set one if I have to be at the airport or something.
We are active during the day, and our internal biological clocks, based on a 24-hour time frame that, thanks to external stimuli, keeps us on track. But what would happen if there were no external signals? That was the question posed by sociologist Maurizio Montalbini.
Like sunrise?
Yep.
Okay.
To answer it, he had to be completely isolated. So he went to live in a cave for a few years.
For a few years?
For a few years. First, he did this in December 1986, and he spent 7 months in the Frassati Caves, breaking the world record for complete isolation in the process. I didn't know there was a world record for that, and that sounds terrifying. And also, how do you justify that world record? Because you say, oh, he broke the world record for isolation, yet there could be some hermit that's never come down from the mountain before that would technically have the world record for isolation.
How many years?
He only put 6 months that first time.
Oh, okay.
He repeated this experiment two more times, once in 1992 and once in 2006. During that time, he spent a full year and 260 days, respectively, isolated in a cave.
As what did he have in a cave with him?
Nothing. He was isolated.
I mean, he took a book? He just sat there? Voluntary
isolation. Solitary confinement.
Yeah, exactly what it is.
As Maltabini showed, the human body and mind change once there are no external factors to offer information regarding the time of day or the passage of time. First of all, time started going by much faster for him. He always thought he spent far less time in the caves than he actually did. He lost about 30 pounds the first time he did this. His body got used to staying awake for about 50 hours at a time and then going to sleep for 5.
And that was enough?
That was enough for him to keep going. I mean, he lost 30 pounds. I don't know how.
Wow.
It doesn't say how heavy he was to begin with.
50 hours of sleep in a row?
No, being awake.
Oh, 50 hours of being awake. Oh, 5 hours of sleep.
Yeah, 50 on, 5 off.
But it's complete darkness? I imagine. Maybe he's got a candle or something there. So
it seems like, I mean, sure, he had like a candle.
But he had no sunrise and sunset.
Yeah, he had no other, no clocks, no calendars, no sunrise, no sunset. It was just him and his thoughts.
He just timed when he was asleep, apparently. He had to set some timer to sleep.
It does seem like, he had some idea of a timer.
Yeah. That's really dedication to your science right there. I mean.
Or he hates people.
That would make sense.
So not all experiments have to be dangerous. Some of them can be just plain weird or kind of gross, too. One of those was of Lazzaro Spallanzani. He was the 18th century Italian biologist, studied a variety of topics, including echolocation and biogenesis. However, his work in researching bodily functions is kind of why they talk about him still. We actually learned a lot about digestion thanks to Spallanzani. Up until this time, the accepted truth was that digestion was purely a mechanical process called trituration.
Trituration?
Yep.
Is that where the girls, their butts, so they put them out, they make it go up and down?
Yeah, twerkeration. No, apparently we just, for the longest time, humans just thought food entered and food made its way through and like mousetrap. Everything was going on and going on its way down and that.
Oh, okay. So he's like following the track of the what he ate and how long.
He showed us that there actually was a chemical reaction involved. Specifically, he demonstrated the process of food being broken down by gastric juices in the stomach. So, of course, he used a variety of animals for his experiments. To obtain gastric juice samples, he either made the animal throw up or shoved a sponge tied to a cord down their throats. On other occasions, he wanted to see the effects of gastric juices on food at various stages. This was either done through regurgitation, passing the food naturally, or slicing the animal open to retrieve the stomach contents. Afterward, he would note any change in the food samples, such as weight loss. He performed these experiments on a variety of animals and himself.
How'd he do it on himself?
He would swallow samples wrapped in linen bags or wooden tubes and regurgitate them after a delay. When need arose, though, he would enjoy that same sample multiple times.
Oh, no.
Sometimes you gotta get your... Hey, science is always about trial and error.
It's not about eating doo-doo, though.
I didn't say it was doo-doo. It was something wrapped
in a linen bag. Yeah. It wasn't doo-doo going in, but it was coming out.
Well, no, he would... more like he would tie a string, you know, put a little food in the bag, force it down his throat, wait a little bit, and then pull out a sucker back out. And then a few minutes later, he would take a look at it. He's like, get a little regurgitation, a little gastric juice is going on. Then he'd wrap it all back up and back down there again. About 50 years ago, Australia was dealing with a dangerous condition called Erkundanji. It's a syndrome that caused headaches, nausea, vomiting, and abdominal pains. Left untreated, it could even be fatal. To treat it, first we had to know what caused it, and Dr. Jack Barnes thought he had a pretty good idea, and it was that of the box jellyfish.
Oh, yeah.
Now, nowadays, we do know that species of box jellyfish are among the most deadly creatures on the planet, so we try to avoid them at all costs, but Dr. Barnes himself captured the jellyfish in question, about an inch in diameter, and let it sting him to see what would happen.
They're deadly, right?
He didn't know that at the time. Not content with just one test subject, he also stung his son and a local lifeguard. I don't know if the local lifeguard agreed or he just walked by like, here. All three did get sick and had to be taken to the hospital where they made a full recovery. The tiny jellyfish was indeed the culprit and that caused all the problems and was later named the Carukia Barnesi in Barnes' honor.
Ooh.
It would later be discovered that several other species of jellyfish also can cause that syndrome as well, so...
But several stings can kill you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right? Well, I mean, one sting can put you in the hospital for a long time.
Wow.
I've seen some things on people with box jellyfish that, they just having one brush up against you can put them in the hospital for weeks.
What's that movie where Will Smith kills himself with a bunch of box jellyfish? 7 pounds or 6 pounds or something about all this.
It's the, I know that it's the 12 pounds is whatever the biblical thing is. It was the whole he killed himself so he could donate all the organs to everybody.
Yeah.
7 pounds of flesh?
7 pounds of flesh.
Yeah, I knew I'd get there sooner. Donald Unger. Now, does your mom ever yell at you for cracking your knuckles?
Yeah. And I'd regret cracking my knuckles.
Well, maybe you didn't. See, Donald was like many people who was scolded by his parents because they said, if you cracked your knuckles, you're going to have arthritis when you get older. She warned him this would cause arthritis, and eventually he found himself in a position where he put this claim to a test. Each day, he would crack his knuckles on just his left hand and not the right. He wanted to see if there was any noticeable difference at the conclusion of the experiment. At first, this doesn't sound particularly crazy or bizarre, just cracking your knuckles every day, but Donald was he was relentless about it, and he did it for 60 years.
Wow.
For six decades, Dr. Unger
only cracked the left hand.
Yep. He stuck to the routine to see if the knuckle cracking does indeed cause arthritis. When he finally put an end to his test, he took comprehensive x-rays of his hands and found no significant difference between them at all.
Wow.
For his efforts, Dr. Unger was awarded an Ig Nobel Prize.
Really?
In medicine back in 2009. We talked about the Ig Nobel the other day.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of one of those prizes they give you for doing something stupid, but it actually does help people in the long run.
That's, I used to crack my neck. I don't do that anymore because it won't. Like, solid.
I do like when you find out that a doctor is given... A doctor has a name that they pick the right profession for.
All right. Let me hear it.
Dr. Henry Head was an English neurologist.
Excellent.
Yeah. who performed pioneering work studying the somatosensory system. He focused particularly on the nociception, which is a sense of pain. He started by using recovering patients with nerve damage as test subjects. However, he quickly found out their lack of medical knowledge kept him from being able to keep an accurate report. He needed objective answers he required from his volunteers, so he found a better test subject, and that happened to be himself, old Dr. Henry Head.
Uh-huh.
There was one problem, though. The doctor was a healthy man who had no nerve damage to observe.
Oh, don't tell me he gave himself nerve damage.
And he did. Following one quick surgery, he severed two nerves in his left forearm. And now he had nerve damage to check out.
Wow.
The doctor then spent the next 4 years documenting his recovery. Each weekend, he traveled to his colleague's room at Cambridge and underwent an examination of his affected and unaffected arms to note the differences. Head carefully tracked all the sensory changes he would experience once his radial nerves were transected. He eventually went on to become among the first to talk about sensory dissociation by speculating about the existence of two different sensory systems, which he called the epicritic and the protopathic systems. And, you know, his arm also went...
Yeah, but he never... He lost whatever...
So he gave himself nerve damage in his arm.
Forever?
Yes.
Wow.
I really told you, you gotta really enjoy your craft.
Yeah, be
you know, if you want to be an NBA basketball player, you got to shoot 5,000 three-pointers a day. If you want to be a great neuroscientist, you got to remove some nerves.
Snip your own nerves. Well, speaking of the medical industry, when we get back, there is a new side effect of the popular drug Ozempic. It can get you pregnant. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. Well, women are getting pregnant while using Ozempic. One TikToker shared a video saying she was stunned to learn she was expecting a baby shortly after she started taking Ozempic. And then a ton of responses from other women. One lady said, "I was told I was infertile after my second C-section. I took Ozempic for 4 months and boom, I'm knocked up." "Yes, girl, same." Another one chimed in. "I had polycystic ovary syndrome and infertility issues for years. On Ozempic for 2 months, bam, pregnant." So they're noticing this. Doctors playing out of their practices. They say there are two reasons. The Mounjaro, Wegovy, all these GLP-1 medicines help regulate your menstrual cycle and boost fertility. They say that they're... PCOS symptoms alleviate quickly when they start to use the drug. And secondly, they could reduce the efficacy of birth control pills that you're taking. Plus, you lost some weight. You're looking good. Your husband wants to nail you all the time.
Science.
They make it easier for you to get pregnant. But once you get pregnant, you got to stop taking it or your kid's going to come out with a couple of heads. Or some other bizarre.
Or in the best shape of its life.
Absolutely ripped. Just come out of there. Ah! This story, I don't know. It's about a guy who's an attorney. And he's just a local good guy that likes to help out the needy. And he's an attorney, actually. And he... has a routine of doing dumpster diving behind certain places, finding the food that's tossed out that day that's still good, and making it available to people that need food. So he started, he realized that a Crown Heights neighborhood bagel joint, bagel pub, had, you know, that you bake bagels, you don't keep them for a couple of days. If you don't sell them, you bag them up and put them in the trash. Well, this guy said they're perfectly good. His name is Ted Rayo. And they were baked that morning. They shouldn't really be thrown out, but that was the bagel place's, you know, rules. And so he would go get the bagels and then take them somewhere, rebag them, like three to a bag, tie the bag off, and leave them places where he knew that homeless people would find them. But now he's been forced to stop that. He didn't like to see food go to waste. Because now the perfectly good bagels now are started to get mixed in with other stuff that made them inedible. because the dude that runs the bagel shop realized that his guy was dumpster diving, and he expressed some concern that perhaps this guy is reselling them. So he began to ruin or instruct his employees when they took out the bagels for that day, make them inedible some way. So normally they would take like a hot pot full of oatmeal they sold that day. They didn't want to keep around. They just dump it in the bag. The attorney Rayo said sometimes it would smell like chemicals in there. He was deliberately defiling these bagels so that they could not be used again. He maintained that the old goods were garbage, the pub's manager. And he took that action after getting complaints that his exploits were causing a mess. People were maybe opening the bag on the streets and eating one bagel and leaving two or leaving the bag or whatever. Plus, he said, you're feeding people garbage. We tried to work with this guy, but he insists that he wants free bagels. We're not going to just give it to him. I don't know what he's doing with them or if he's selling them. That's a problem. That's where I have a problem with the bagel guy, because he says, we're not just going to give these bagels away. Well, you put them in the trash.
Yeah, I get. I don't know what his argument with the guy. If the lawyer came and said, "Hey,
right,
we have a nonprofit that we give food to people, and I see you throw a lot of them away. Can you just give it to us at the end of the day?"
Yeah, I'll stop by, leave it by the back door, so it doesn't get thrown in with the trash.
Yeah, I get where he's. You can't be digging them out of the trash though to give to people, because the last thing that guy needs is, a bag with his bagels. Gets handed out to a bunch of homeless people. All of a sudden, they all start keeling over dead because who knows what was in that trash can at the time period. And now this guy's business is ruined because this guy went dumpster diving for some bagels.
Some days he'd find 200 bagels at a time. On a busy weekend, he said he could get enough to fill 35 plastic sleeves that he puts around half a dozen each one. He does acknowledge that leaving them out in front of the store in the bags, or he left them right in front of the pub, the bagel joint right there, was a bad idea. And neighbors started to complain and so on and so forth. But the pub received tickets from the sanitation department for loose bagels appearing in front of the store and torn baggies littering the whole block. He was also put off by the side deal he had that Rayo had with store employees, arguing that Rayo should have approached him directly about the leftover goods. He learned about it, a few months ago. Told his employees to stop participating. He said, if somebody comes up to me at the end of the day and has a normal conversation with us and says, hey, I need these bagels because they're feeding homeless people, that's a different story. But when you're just taking them out of the garbage, I don't know if you're selling them or what you're doing with them. You can't just take S out of our garbage and expect my workers to clean up afterwards. There used to be in New York City an organization, or maybe more than one, New York City being a destination for conventions and things like that. Many, many, many hotels would end up with, sometimes if you work at a big hotel, there's a big convention, there's like three or four or five racks of lamb chops left over. First thing they do is put them in the employee cafeteria. But sometimes they have more, and they end up throwing it away. Well, there were companies that were going around, and they would get calls from chefs in these kitchens that, hey, I got this many, that many, and they would send a truck around, and they would pick it up, and they would redistribute it at shelters and such. But Bloomberg stopped that. You know why? Bloomberg claimed, this is the same guy that banned the Big Gulp, he claimed there's no way that they could monitor the sodium count in some of these foods, and that it might be unhealthy to give homeless people things that are high in sodium.
There are actually places now, which I'm surprised this guy's not a part of with it, if he does have that, in big cities. I don't think we have them here in Orlando. There's one that's called Flash Food. There's another app called Too Good to Go. And basically, at the end of the night, these places put up on the app. So it's like a DoorDash, but you get whatever they have at the end of the night. And you don't know what you're getting. It literally
for individuals to go get free food or for groups to go and collect it?
It's for individuals. You as a person, you go, okay, I like that little bakery up the street. They have a end of the night bag that's $15. And I might get $35 worth of stuff, but it was going to be stuff they were going to throw away. So I'll get it for $15. And they just give you, it's almost like a weird restaurant leftover grab bag.
Does it normally come, is it restaurants that participate in it?
Yeah. You go on the app and you can see the list of the restaurants. They'll tell you what the actual amount is that they're saying. It'll be a $15, a $5 bag, a $10 bag, a $15 bag.
Huh. Well, the bagel manager was considering getting a restraining order against him. He said, I'm absolutely willing to make peace with the bagel pub, the attorney said, but not if the manager stands by the falsehoods that I caused him to get three citations and he had to fire an employee, blah, blah, blah. He said he brokered a deal with another bagel joint in another neighborhood about a half a mile away to donate their leftover bagels to community fridges. He said, I'm not a Marxist. They can do what they want to do. But short of that, it's if there is waste, if there is garbage, let's just not throw it out. We have a similar program with one of our kids.
You give them all your waste.
All our leftovers.
My dad does the same thing. My brother and I go over there, and he's like, okay, I've got some leftover steaks. We need to get out of the freezer. I'll leave with like a bag.
That's exactly what happens on Sundays at my house. A whole bunch of to-go stuff, a bunch of Tupperware and bags of...
Cool. I now have two steaks, some Steak-ums, some...
The only difference at our house when the to-go boxes go out, one kid, you guess which one, gets all his in like old sour cream tubs, and the other one gets his in nice Tupperware because he returns the Tupperware. This is a shocker, but this woman got herpes from a manicure. Wow. 23-year-old went to the salon to get her nails done. Immediately afterwards, she noticed inflammation and swelling on two of her fingers, said she began to feel ill. 4 days later, painful blisters erupted from her skin. The patient rushed to the hospital, then diagnosed with genital herpes.
Ah.
Genital herpes on your fingers? Does that mean eventually you're going to get it on your genitals?
If her hand gets down there.
She filed a lawsuit in Multnomah County stating she did not have herpes before, but was infected at the salon after going to the manicure at the PDX Nails in Portland, Oregon. I bet they're closed. In her lawsuit, she said the tech didn't wear gloves, which could have prevented any infections from spreading. The technician was also alleged to have stored drill bits used to help shape the nails inside a mint, a tin used to keep like mints in, Altoids. She wants $1.75 million. She's pain and suffering, regular flare-ups in her hands. It's left her needing to wear Band-Aids on her fingers to cover up the sores, which have at times attracted questions from others. She also feels she may never be rid of the infection. You're not rid of it, right?
No.
And we'll have to be careful with any future children with herpes able to lie dormant in the body for decades. Flare-ups can be very painful. It's always on my mind. People say, hey, what happened to your finger? I don't want to tell them I got herpes on my finger. Maybe the nail tech had the herpes on the fingers and she didn't clean the herpes
or
the tools off her.
Or that nail salon also is a massage parlor too, and someone got the extra happy ending as well.
Oh no. She has been getting manicures since she was 8 years old. Claimants have previously been awarded damages following an infection of the nail salon. In 2002, a woman in Colorado was awarded $3.1 million after she got herpes from a manicure. 2021, a woman in Florida was paid $1.75 million by a salon after the marriage. She had suffered an infection as a result in her leg being amputated. Mm. Yikes.
Yeah, in how did her nails look?
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fire engine red. 2012, Multnomah County jury awarded a Portland woman $900,000 after she got the herpes from a date that had sex with her without telling her about his status. Nice to have a buddy of mine to ride with. He just couldn't tell you enough that he had herpes. I mean, it was like we'd go somewhere and riding stop for a beer, and this girl would stand. This guy's very handsome. And all the other guys were like, hey, man, that chick is like on. He goes, man, come on. You know I got herpes. I think it ruined his dating life. That's for sure.
Sure sounds like it.
A teacher in Michigan at an ISA, Taylor Preparatory High School. She was fired last month because she refused to erase her art from YouTube. Her art is her rap career. Apparently, one of the students apparently stumbled on the music of Dominique Brown, otherwise known as Drippin' Honey. That's right, Drippin' Honey. The parent complained about the content. We couldn't play any of it here.
Literally the first beat, and then immediately
N word, yeah. F this, F that. Not all rap music. It's literally the same four bars of music, and then her just spewing profanities. So they had a meeting between her and the principal. She says she was told the parent felt that she was a bad influence on her students because she raps. Brown allegedly asked the school to tell her in writing what issues the school had with her content, but that never happened. During another meeting, she claimed she was given an ultimatum to remove the content, but she refused because that's her art, her rap career. A month later, she was voted Teacher of the Month by students, but by then, it's only a matter of time before she lost her job. Maybe she was voted Teacher of the Month because everyone at that point knew about her rapping career, and they apparently liked it. I don't know. It is, it's not OnlyFans. And I can see where that would cause a distraction in school if these kids knew that they could see you naked or doing whatever on a website. But I do see where, I mean, I don't know what her teaching style is. Hopefully is not reflected in her rapping. But unless the kids really, I mean, I don't know, maybe they all knew. Obviously some knew because a parent found out about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not radio friendly. We can't play it. But it's not nothing harmful. These
kids,
yeah,
it's nothing the high school kids in near Detroit aren't listening to on their own. It's no different. It's no less pure than that. Some of that stuff.
So I'm kind of confused why the school, because usually the schools back the teachers up on this. So I'm not sure what. There must have been maybe some other things going on where they felt the need to get rid of her. But to have a teacher that you felt was good enough to get Teacher of the Month and you fired him over some rap lyrics.
And obviously the students voted her Teacher of the Month.
Yeah. So they liked her enough.
Maybe they liked her because she had the ability to have a rap career. And look, if she's rapping the filth she was rapping, she probably connects better with high school students in a school near Detroit. Maybe they had more respect for her.
Maybe so. Again, I'm surprised that it took one parent complaining, got her fired. That tells me there might have been some more stuff going on, and this was just like...
Well, they did give her they asked her to take it down, and after they won two times... And after she didn't, after the second request, that's when they canned her. A little odd firing the Teacher of the Month, though.
Yeah. you can't tell her to delete her art. She's strong in the game now, so.
She's obviously not making any money rapping, I don't think.
No, think? I looked it up. Her big hit song had 8,000 views, and that's after the article was already released. So I don't know how many views it had before the article got released. Because every comment was somebody saying, I came here because of the news article.
Well, a scientific study has confirmed that dogs can grasp more than simple commands. I thought we knew this. Dogs can understand the meaning of nouns, according to a new research. I mean, there's that dog, I think they listed in this, it's a border collie that learned the names of like 800 different toys. So you tell it, go get so-and-so, and they go get it. Diesel kind of, I mean, he knew a rope from a ball. And I could tell him to go get a rope. And or go get a ball, he'd come back with it. So obviously, do we think dogs couldn't understand that? Or just a lot of people thought that, they probably associated a word, they immediately associate a word with a color or a shape or a.
Yeah, I think we've always known that they can understand commands and. But the actual understanding of what an object is and the name of that object, I don't think we quite comprehended how much they can.
So they had a bunch of people with their dogs come to the laboratory with five different objects that the animals knew well, balls, slippers, frisbees, rubber toys. At the lab, the owners were instructed to say the words for objects before showing their dog either the correct item or a different one. For example, the owner might say, look at this ball, then hold up a frisbee. And then they repeated it multiple times, and during the test, they monitored their brain activity through non-invasive electroencephalography. They revealed different patterns of activity when the objects matched the words and when they clashed with the words. Meaning, like the dog was like, bitch, that ain't no ball. Yeah. That's a frisbee. That's straight a frisbee. Up,
dude,
man.
What's your problem?
The scientists say that these results provide the first real neural evidence for object word knowledge in a non-human animal. He said, I'm not claiming that dogs understand words as well as humans do. It'll take a lot more work to understand. For example, whether dogs can generalize in the way that humans learn as infants to grasp that word ball need not to refer to one specific heavy, chewy, spongy sphere. What I'd like... Like your dog would know that ball is his ball, but he brought another ball in that he didn't recognize. He wouldn't know that as his ball.
Yeah, they do think there's some permanence to. They understand that's my ball, but they don't quite understand. You say, "Hey, go get that ball," and if there's someone else's, that they were like, "Eh, I'm not sure if that's mine, or if I should go get that one."
This might be. The dogs don't really like or care enough about the game of fetch to play along with the way they've been training and testing. Your dog may understand that you're saying, but your dog may understand what you're saying, but choose not to act. Well, certainly don't understand, like, get the F off the bed.
Well, he may understand the bed. He just doesn't feel like he should have to.
Oh, yeah, probably so. Well, the rest of our dogs are pretty dumb, unfortunately. But I always thought that it was easy. What about that one dog that could say sentences with those, he's got those little programmable. Have you seen that? The little buttons you push that there were gags on the table said, no. This guy programmed each one to say things. And this dog could say, I go outside.
I mean, how much was that treat training that you taught them the correct combination? You taught them combos, maybe not sentence structure. Where to the dog was like, okay, I got to press left, right, right, left, and I can get to go outside.
Or he hears the words because he knows you want to go out. My dogs know you want to go outside. They all know. So if he could say it himself and make you get up and open the door, that's
dangerous.
Pretty smart dog. All right. When we return, movie man Mike will join us. to review. What did he review? Something big?
Stuff.
Stuff. That's next. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. Movie Man Mike joins us, as he does every Friday. You can read Mike Clark's reviews in Newsmax magazine at thefederalist.com and at Epic Times. Mike, how are you, man?
I'm doing wonderful. And yourself, sir?
I'm well.
What? This is the first and last time you're going to hear this from me on the Shannon Burke Show.
All right.
We have two horror movies starting this weekend, and they're both excellent.
Huh. All right.
You get, I see maybe one a year that I like, two of them on the same weekend.
Why now? Is this horror film season? It is?
That's no, it's not.
They do get dumped in February a lot.
February.
Well, we're in March, so.
Well, they're a little late. All right, what are they?
Yeah. Immaculate, starring Sydney Sweeney.
Oh, that's all you had me at Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah, and she is very good in this. She plays an American nun who gets invited to a convent in Italy, and things immediately start going wrong. Nuns are dropping dead all over the place. Within a month, she's pregnant, but she's never had sex before. So that's where the Immaculate comes in. I don't want to give away too much because there's a lot of twists along the way, but it is gory. It is gruesome. The final act is bonkers. I saw a couple people get up and leave in the middle of the last. Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's too much for them?
Yeah. And there is skin. She is naked at one point.
Yes.
And then there's another scene where she's wearing like a see-through nightgown in a pool. So you definitely get your money's worth.
Theaters
only. And 4 out of 5 for me, 76% with critics. Nothing yet from audiences. Late Night with the Devil. This stars a guy named David Dastmalchian. And there's no reason for you to know who he is. But if you saw a picture of him, you go, yeah, I've seen that guy before. He's been in Marvel movies. He's been in DC Comics movies. He was in Dune. He was in Blade Runner 2049. He's kind of creepy looking. He's of Iranian ancestry, and he just kind of has a look of evil on him. And it's set in 1977 on Halloween night. And he's a fictional late night TV host who's trying to knock Johnny Carson out of the top spot. And he can't do it. Nobody could. So he advises to have a Halloween themed show that night with a mentalist and a magician and a woman with a kid who might be possessed. And it takes a little while to get going, but once it does, again, it goes nuts. The final act, lots of stuff happens. Your eyes are going to be bugging out of your head.
All right.
And I give the directors credit. They're from Australia. And it looks like a 70s TV show. So they got the look down perfect. But that's, again, Late Night with the Devil, 4 out of 5 for me. 96 critics, 87% audiences, and that's in theaters. Roadhouse. This is not a remake as much as it is a reimagining. You got Jake Gyllenhaal in the movie as the lead, who is completely ripped. This guy must have gone under some really heavy-duty training. There ain't an ounce of fat on this dude. And he's a former MMA fighter with a deep secret, okay?
He's the Patrick Swayze character?
Yeah, he's the Patrick Swayze character.
But Patrick Swayze didn't have a deep secret.
No, he didn't. That's why I said it's a reimagining type of thing. Well, and I'd be...
To what?
He ripped a guy's throat out at one point.
Well, this is a little bit more than that, but I mean, I'm looking at Jake Gyllenhaal and I'm looking at Patrick Swayze, a guy who was known mostly for dancing in movies, you know, Dirty Dancing, Ghost. He played kind of a wimpy guy. He didn't strike me as all that menacing. Sam Elliott was more menacing.
Yeah, he brought it.
And they didn't recast the Sam Elliott character.
They did not?
No, they did not. Huh. And it's set in a key called the Glass Key. There is no key called the glass key in the Florida Keys. So they make up a fictitious key, and then they film it in the Dominican Republic.
Really?
Yeah. But that doesn't matter. It still looks good. It's got lots of skin in it. And for being in an area that's so mellow, there's a lot of pissed off people that come to these bars.
Is it the same thing where this bar's competing with the local big shot dude who owns the liquor company and the bars, and he's running into his business, that type of thing?
A similar kind of business conflict. Somebody owns all the land and they want to turn it into the resort, and the owner of the bar does not want to sell.
Okay.
So that's why he keeps sending in people to, you know, just make it undesirable. So Gyllenhaal just goes in there and kicks the hell out of people until they bring in Conan McGregor.
Oh, that's right. I forgot he was
part of this. Conan, you know, you look at him and you're thinking, is this guy going to, can he even act? And it doesn't really matter. He's just in there like a Tasmanian devil. Just
right.
Throwing people across the room, overacting. And I'm like, wow, well, Arnold Schwarzenegger kind of did the same thing, and it worked out pretty well for him.
True.
So I liked it way more than I was expecting.
Do you like it as much as you like the original?
Oh, I didn't care for the original much at all.
Oh.
But that's probably because it was 1989, and I was probably stoned and, you know, a little bit of that too, so I don't even remember it. But it's not Oppenheimer. It's not Shakespeare. It's
right.
An action movie.
Is it a B movie? Because the original Roadhouse was a solid B, right?
Yeah, it's a B movie, and it's weird because they didn't give it a theater run at first, and a lot of people said, well, that's because the fight scenes are all too heavy with CGI. And it might be better to keep it on a small screen. That way they won't notice. I noticed that there was CGI involved in the fight scenes. You could tell.
In the new one?
Yes, in the new one. But that doesn't mean it's not fun to watch.
Right.
I mean, and there's a couple of chase scenes and fight scenes on a boat. The bikers are not nice people in this movie. That's for sure. But he just disposes of them like boom, ba boom, ba boom, ba boom. So it's fun to look at. There's some nice skin. He's got a good love interest. It's got everything, but it's like I said, it's not Oppenheimer. It's not high drama. It's an action movie.
I'm only concerned about, does it do justice to the original?
It's better than the original. It's got better acting. It's got a better storyline. It's better looking only because of the technical achievements since 1989. And like I said, I barely remember watching it. I'm not going to forget watching this.
All right.
Okay. So, and think it's what it's worth. 3.5 out of 5 for me, 63% critics, 60% audiences. So a lot of people are kind of in the middle on it. I think those numbers are going to go up the further it goes. And it's got a great soundtrack.
Theater.
Excellent.
Theater's only right
now? I know. Amazon Prime.
Oh, no kidding.
Amazon Prime. Bardejov, Bardejov. This is a city in Slovakia in 1942. It stars Robert Davi as a Jewish community leader who's trying to outwit some Nazi-sponsored Slovakian goons. It's a really nice, small World War II movie, like a mini version of Schindler's List, where this Jewish community is trying to protect itself from slaughter. And they come up with some pretty ingenious ways to do it. And Robert Davi, who I know well, again, is the lead character, who's Italian, but he could look like any kind of Mediterranean character.
He's a big conservative, too, Robert Davi.
He's a big conservative as well. He directed My Son Hunter, but he did not direct this, but he is the lead. And again, it's called Bardejov, and it's on Vudu, Prime, and Apple. Sleeping Dogs. This is a new movie starring Russell Crowe. Which could be his L.A. Confidential character 30 years later. He's
right.
Battered. He's got Alzheimer's. He can't remember things. He's got masking tape all over his apartment to tell him where stuff is, what his name is. And he gets prodded into looking to a 10-year-old case for a guy who's on death row who claims he didn't kill somebody, even though he signed a confession. So Crowe is going under some therapy that's helping his memory get better, And as that happens, he gets closer and closer to finding the ultimate culprit. Now, by the hour point in the movie, there's like five people who have ample opportunity and ample motive to have committed this murder. So I like that part about it. What I didn't like is in the third act, they start messing with what they said previously. They introduce objects that give away the story or not. It started way better than it ended, but it's still not bad.
He's a
detective. I liked it a lot more than the other critics did. 3.5 out of 5. But again, it's a thriller, and you can't mess with a thriller with the details. You got to stick with what you've established and don't variate on it. 29% with critics. The number keeps dropping by the hour. Nothing yet from audiences. And again, that's theaters, and it's called Sleeping Dogs. The title of this documentary is called What the Hell Happened to Blood, Sweat, and Tears? I don't know. Pardon?
A little lengthy.
Yeah, too long. I don't know if you remember this band. They were big in the late 60s
Hell
and early
yeah.
70s. Yeah. A horn band similar to Chicago with, you know, a little bit more edge to it. And the lead singer in the band was David Clayton Thomas, who was from Canada. And this wasn't known until this documentary came out. And I'm not ruining anything.
It's kind of like they're more closer to Tower of Power, I think. Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
Yeah. I would go along with that. But the U.S. was going to kick him out because he had overstayed his visa. And he was convicted of drug charges in Canada. And the management said, well, our band is going to fall apart if we don't have this guy. He's the entire sound of the band. So the U.S. government said, well, if you go over to Eastern Bloc communist countries and do a tour, we'll let him stay. Huh. Which they did. But this didn't go over too well with the hippies and everybody who was into the band at the time, because they thought, well, they're selling out to the government. Of course, if they were doing that right now, they'd be everybody would be standing up and cheering.
Yeah.
But because it happened in the early 70s, no, that's no good. So it's a really, if you like the band, it's even better. If you don't know who the band is, you'll be introduced to some very good music. 3.5 out of 5 for me, 82% with critics, nothing yet from audiences, and that's on Vudu, Prime, and Apple.
All right.
William Shatner.
It's his birthday today, isn't it?
It's his birthday today, yeah. And this new movie is called William Shatner, You Can Call Me Bill. I don't know anybody who doesn't like William Shatner. He's 93, this guy. And he still goes around like he's 50. He does concert tours. He does TV appearances. This movie was financed by his fans. They did a Kickstarter or GoFundMe type of thing.
Was it a documentary?
Yeah, it's a documentary, story documentary. I loved it. I mean, this guy, you know, he's never going to be accused of being a versatile actor. But he knows the roles he's playing, and he plays them well.
Denny Crane. That's my favorite role I think he's ever played is Denny Crane.
Over Captain Kirk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I got to get
Captain Kirk was a sci-fi whatever, you know. Denny Crane was a brilliant character of a mentally not all there attorney would bring a gun out in the court, and you know, I thought that was a brilliant character. I was sad when that show went away.
Yeah, don't get me wrong, I love that character, but Captain Kirk is just so indelible and so iconic. You know, if I'm watching an old episode of Star Trek, I'm watching it all the way through. I'm not clicking the channel to go to something else. And the fact that it was only around for 3 years.
Yeah.
And then
I don't look at Star Trek as his like most popular formative role. I mean, it was a good one. It was 3 years long. It lives in infamy and forever and ever and ever, in reruns and whatnot. But I mean, it wasn't very challenging. I mean, I don't get me wrong. I enjoyed it. I enjoy him in anything, but acting wise, it was just a, you know, dopey show. Sorry, Star Trek guy.
And they go into T.J. Hooker,
Yeah.
The fact that this guy has done three albums of rock covers. He covered Bohemian Rhapsody, for Christ's sake.
He also did some brilliant spoken word stuff.
Yeah. So he's not this flash in the pan, old cheesy guy. Let's bring him out and, you know, see what he did, you know, 50 years ago, 60 years ago. He's still around. No. God give him all the credit he's due. And that's in theaters starting today. Only theaters. 4 out of 5 for me, 90% with critics, 94% with audiences. So everybody's loving it, and rightfully so. Our next two movies are Women's First Names. The first one is called Shirley, and this is about Shirley Chisholm, who you may or might not know was the first black female elected to the United States House of Representatives in 1970, where she came into contact with lots of prejudice and guys who just wanted to go for her throat because she was a black female. And she got the idea she was going to run for president, which she did. And she went into it pretty much knowing that she's not going to win. But as you know, with presidential candidates, they get so many delegates, and they can end up being a kingmaker down the line or at the convention, which is kind of what happened with her. Now, this is a live-action movie. It's not a documentary. And she's played by Regina King, who is a decent enough actress, but she looks nothing like Shirley Chisholm, nothing at all. And Shirley Chisholm had a distinct way of talking. She had a vocal imperfection, and Regina King doesn't even try to copy it. But one thing I thought was interesting, Chisholm is from New York. She was a teacher. She was not a politician. And she's a lot like Donald Trump. She just came in to upset the apple cart, and she succeeded in it admirably. I wish they'd had a different actress playing her, but those are the breaks. 3 out of 5 for me. 69% with critics, 75% with audiences, and that's on Netflix. The next one is called Stormy, as in Stormy Daniels.
A documentary?
And yeah, it's a documentary, and it's on Peacock, which is like the Bud Light of premium cable channels. You know, well, who can we get to pick this up? Can we get Netflix? No. Well, how about Vudu? No, I don't think so.
I think Peacock is where you can see Oppenheimer now, right?
I'm not sure.
Peacock or Paramount, one or the other?
That's Paramount, I would say. I haven't seen a movie that's been broadcast on Peacock. I can't recall the last one I did. But it's a documentary, of course, of what's happened to her since 2017. And it's like, God, I already saw this. Are you going to show me something different? And it doesn't. But what it does is it's like a clip show, well put together, but it doesn't tell you anything new. And it doesn't tell you that she actually owes Donald Trump like $170,000.
Yeah.
They conveniently leave that out.
Hmm.
And, of course, Michael Avenatti is in it. He's the one who kind of talked her into doing this in the first place. Now, he's somebody's bitch.
Yeah,
For a long time. So if you want to be reminded about something you just saw and didn't like the first time you saw it, have at it. It's called Stormy. 2 out of 5 for me. 70% with critics. 61 with audiences. And again, that's on the Peacock channel. Shannon, you might like this next one. It's called They Shot the Piano Player. And it is about a jazz pianist named Francisco Tenorio. Have you ever heard of him? He was very big. He was Brazilian, and he was very instrumental in getting the bossa nova sound
happening in America. Yeah,
started, and suddenly one day in the 60s, he's gone. He's never been found. They don't know whether it was political or not. And the movie doesn't answer the question, but the soundtrack is just amazing, and it's shot very weird. They shoot it on film, but then they go back and they color over top of the film in what they call rotoscope, rotoscope. Scanner Darkly was one movie that did that in the 90s. Waking Life was another one. So it's live action, but it's colored like an animated film.
Ugh, I hate that.
Well, I like it, actually, if the material's right. But I didn't get much out of this that I, you know, really gleaned before. I mean, okay, this guy from Brazil, he's gone. He made one album. What else? Well, that's it. Okay. So it looked good. It's got a great soundtrack. 3 out of 5 for me, 77% with critics, 88 with audiences. Hmm. And that is in theaters now. They shot The Piano Player. Next up is called The Boy and the Heron. And this is a Japanese
heron. What do you mean heron? Like a heron, like a bird? Or yeah. Heron, like the street terminology for heroin?
Yo, man, you got some heron?
The bird.
Oh, okay.
The bird, dude. And it won the Oscar for Best Animated Picture.
The prime rib of the skies. Isn't that what the heroin is? Yep. That's you're not supposed to eat it, but they're supposed to be delicious.
Well, they're pretty to look at.
And yeah, we got a couple around here.
It's the second Oscar for Japanese director Hayao Miyazaki, who did Spirited Away back in the 2000s. And I really like the fact that this thing did win because it was going up against another Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse movie, which I the first one was real fun. This one was horrible. Japanese anime, you either love it or you don't.
Sorry, go ahead.
Okay. So again, if you're into animation, you'll love it. If not, don't bother.
What kind of animation? Like the one with the, what was that one with the boy in a boat with a tiger?
No, I don't think that was animated. Are you talking about the Life of Pi?
Life of Pi. That's not animated?
No, that's a lot of special effects.
It's CGI. It's okay. Yeah. Yeah. All right.
No, this is anime, Japanese animation, where the characters aren't so overdrawn. They have a lot of proportionate human features. And they bring in American and English actors to do the voices, like Christian Bale and Dave Bautista, Willem Dafoe do most of the voices in the movie. So again, if you're into animation, you'll love it. That's in theaters right now. We talked about this last month, Peter 5-8 with the Kevin Spacey. I tried to get a screener for this. I couldn't locate a PR agent to save my life.
What's the name of it?
Peter 5-8, an action movie with Kevin Spacey, who plays a hitman. And I'll tell you, the only review on Rotten Tomatoes is a guy who I know of in New York, who probably paid to see it, because this movie is playing in 2 theaters in New York and 2 theaters in Los Angeles, 1 show per day.
Wow. Each. They really hate him now, huh?
Well, evidently they can't get enough interest to show it anywhere else. So this thing is going to die a quick death. You'll probably see it on cable within a month and on DVD in 6 weeks. But I've never seen an opening that small for a movie.
Because of his charges and all the drama, you think?
Yeah, I mean, people are still not, you know, okay, he's gone. And, you know, he's 65 years old and he's playing like a 40-year-old hitman. It doesn't make any sense. They're not promoting it at all. They're not getting any traction.
You said you knew somebody that saw it. Is it any good?
He gave it a good rating.
Well, I can't see it unless I live in California or New York.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah. And only 1 show per day. Like 9:40 in the evening. You can see it in New York at 9:40 in the evening tonight. That's it.
Who made the movie?
I have no idea.
Wow. No.
I went to IMDb Pro. I got the contact information. I emailed them. I left them a voicemail. Never heard back from them. When that happens, I get callbacks all the time. Like with the Russell Crowe movie, I'd never heard of the distributor, but I wrote them. The next morning, I had a screener. Boom, done.
There's nobody to write for this? You can't find a person that's like...
No, I did.
Wow. Oh, you did?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah, I never heard back from him.
Wow. Well, probably because they know you're going to review it and people can only see it in two states, one show per day.
Well, that we review movies that open in New York and L.A. all the time, and you don't hear about them from me because of that very reason. I don't want to tell an audience about a movie, and they can only physically see it in New York or L.A.
Yeah.
But I've, especially with the Epic Times, they want to treat every opening, you know, hey, it's there if you want to see it. And we're clear to say it's New York and L.A. only. So
would it be normal for a movie like this to for the whoever shot it to send you a screener?
It would have behooved them to do that, sure. But they chose to ignore me. Now, which is kind of stupid. I mean, again, the producer of the Sleeping Dogs movie recognized the Epic Times and Newsmax, said, oh, well, this guy's legit. Let's get him a screener. I reviewed it. I popped it up online. I sent it to him yesterday. He said, thank you so much for the review.
Nice.
So, yeah. No, nothing against Amazonian women, but it was just, why?
The budget why on this had to be huge. You had to bring back Aykroyd and Bill Murray, right? At least right. Those two.
Yeah. So, you know, I guess for completists only, it's at 44% with critics. And 86% with audiences, but those are first day movie people who want to go out and see it right now. And they're kind of probably predisposed to liking it. I think that number is going to go down considerably before the weekend's over. And, I saw the first episode of Chicken Nugget.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah. But I don't want to review it. I'm going to review it next week. And,
oh, you got to give us a little something.
It was bonkers. It was very bonkers, but that's one episode out of eight.
Bonkers.
I'm getting an error message. I'm getting an error message here from Zoom, dude. So I might bleep out here in a second. So
anyway, all right. Read Mike's reviews in Newsmax magazine, TheFederalist.com, and Epic Times as well. Mike, thank you very much. Oh, brand 25 peppers at AOL.com. If you want to get your hands on the latest version.
Thank right. you, buddy.
You got it, brother. Have a great one. Talk to you soon.
Talk to you next week.
All right.
Bye. Yeah.
All right. We're all good over there?
We'll see here in a second.
All right. Hang on. It's the your remarks are next. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. Tennessee cop Megan Hall getting $500,000.
And what a deal that was. She got a couple trains pulled on her and she got $500,000.
Yeah. There's some stuff in here I didn't know about in this story about the settlement that there existed a 13-minute video showing her masturbating that was shared amongst all the guys. and they have the quotes here. One guy allegedly brought in and showed the video to another cop, Ty McGowan. He said, "Who dat?" And the guy said, "Hall." And he goes, "He on it again." Like, say that one of the other guys was doing her once again. Wow. But she made out like a bandit, man.
Is the guy still with her?
Was she married?
She was married with that husband that was like, "I'm going to stick with her," even though he wasn't the one.
Right. And she had a threesome with another cop and his wife.
Yeah.
She's not another most people are saying during the interview. You know, she could have said no. I get it. But my response to them is I did say no, and they wouldn't take it for an answer. Eventually, I gave in from pressure. So the city's got, they've agreed to pay her $500,000 without admitting any responsibility or, you know, culpability, this, blah, 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 just so she gets out of their hair.
She cheated on her husband with multiple guys and walked out with $500,000.
Yeah. Laverne, Tennessee. Let's get to these remarks. We've got quite a few of them from the Florida Man radio app and powered by Morris Family Farms and Morganic Meats. The app is a wonderland of archived podcast commercial free for your enjoyment. And hit that little button at the bottom that looks like a little microphone and you can opine. Here we go.
I wonder how many lines Hunter can sniff off a baby's head.
Plenty.
Every Governor DeSantis. Every. You left me every scared. Every with quite every fright. Every don't let those every Haitians. Every moving every next to me. Although I think an airlift is funny. Every you're gonna mess up real estate prices, you see. Just cause Biden's a bastard. Every don't punish me.
Sounds like Richard Gere's up to his old tricks again. Eels, gerbils, the difference is made.
I never believe the gerbil story about him or anybody for that matter.
You do not think that Richard Gere used a toilet paper roll to insert gerbils into his anus?
No, I don't.
Wow, thanks for the eel story. Now I have to come up with another excuse for my wife. Thanks.
Jeez.
Be-do-be-do.
Be-do-be-do.
Shannon Maverick here. To hell with that guy with the eel in his gut. Can you imagine that poor eel? He's just sitting there going, "Oh, wait, what are you doing? What's the... No!"
I wonder if they let that eel free. And that eel reminds me a lot of Shawshank Redemption at the end. Andy Dufresne crawled through 500 yards. Some little foul filth. I can't even imagine.
To freedom.
Come out clean on the other side. That eel's now driving to Zihuatanejo in a convertible with the warden's money.
Todd Daytona, Wong Hung Lo. As far as the eels, the ball is in play. I repeat, the ball is in play. Uncle Ted, I got you covered, brother man. Call me.
Breaking news. Donald Trump sneaks back into the White House, invokes squatters' rights. Story at 11.
That squatters thing's getting out of control. Vigilantes are sick of that stuff, and they're coming out of nowhere. Awesome.
Every, you don't think every Uncle Ted every goes on the treadmill? Every, you think it's easy every keeping up every physique like this? I'll have you know, every, Shannon Burke isn't the only one who has every calves to die for. Every, God bless.
My calves are too big. I'm thinking about getting a reduction.
Might be off topic. I really don't care. The National Guard and the Senate of Texas went through the same boot camp I went through. Halt. Who goes there? If they do not cease and identify, you are to lay them to sleep.
Okay. Man. Hey, guys, and Miss Heather. Great show as always. This is Katie from Crestview.
First off, I used to work for a company that at the end of every shift, any food that was to be waste logged, aka thrown away, we always bagged up, threw it in the freezer, and we had a company come by every other day and pick up all of our stuff, and then they would repurpose it and feed the homeless. Now, that was Blooming Brands. I'm not sure if they still do that because I no longer work for them. But there are some humanitarian efforts left in this world.
Yeah. Watch their sodium intake, homeless people.
Mm-hmm, yeah. No, too much salt for them. They don't get enough water.
Yeah.
Yeah, herpes is that gift that keeps on giving.
You keep it forever like luggage.
Guess old finger herpes girl can't be strumming her own banjo now, can she?
Beedoo, beedoo.
As long as no one else plays it.
Well.
Oh, that banjo. Oh. Yeah.
She can rap it. The little finger ones.
Like yeah, the first aid kit in the restaurants. First aid kit,
yeah, get a little blue hat.
I think it's called a finger cot.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm blown away that she has genital herpes on her fingers, but no report. I mean, does it eventually go there, or does it just stop with your fingers?
I mean, probably at some point she's going to touch there, so.
Ugh.
Hi, Shannon. This is Army Guy from Port St. Joe. Not only is the Army good at lethal, but we're also very good at non-lethal also. And we have a little cannon that emits an infrared sound frequency that causes a crowd. We use it on gates, crowd control, makes them defecate involuntarily immediately when they're hit with it. This is also referred to as the brown.
Say they have a brown note cannon?
Brown note, yeah. We've talked about that before. Imagine that. You're like, hey, what? I feel kind of, oh, what's going on? And everyone around you is also crapping their pants.
Great. First the eel, now herpes. I got a lot of explaining to do to my wife.
That's exactly why I don't get manicures or pedicures. But it is weird. I went to an Asian massage parlor and I got toe fungus.
Dogs are absolutely amazing, intelligent, and intuitive. You know, they detect diseases in people. And as far as identifying toys, we had Zachariah, a really smart schnauzer, and he had a literal basket, hundreds, and he knew every single one to go get. Go get the raccoon.
Zachariah, huh?
Mm, the smart schnauzer.
They are very smart animals.
That teacher that was fired for rapping, I'm having to wonder if the school didn't take the same approach to that teacher as if it were, say, I don't know, a white teacher saying the same things, right? This may be a situation where that double standard's been removed. Beedoo-beedoo.
Well, I venture to guess that there's not a whole lot of middle-aged white rapper teachers out there.
Maude is definitely not getting away with some of those things that she said.
Yeah, no, not at all. She'd be ridiculed. She would never be employee of the month or, you know, voted by the students.
Shannon, I love you, but you gotta stop saying that B-A-L-L word when I got you on speaker with my dog around. He's freaking out. We're in the car. I can't throw it anywhere. And you kept repeating it. It was, I wish I could film and drive at the same time. But beedoo, beedoo, anyways.
That's funny.
Did you say ball?
Ball.
Ball?
Hey, guys. Shadow, have you ever seen that video of that border collie sitting on the back of this guy's quad? And he's just sitting there waiting for the command. And then the guy gives him the command and he runs about 150 yards out.
Gets a sheep.
Rounds up, 200 sheep in about a minute and a half.
It's
and
impressive
runs
work.
Them all through the gate right next to where the quad is.
Loads
it's
them up.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Another qualifying factor with Zachariah pertaining to processing information was, well, he had different colored balls. I mean, orange, red, purple ball, green balls, blue balls. I mean, he could get every single color balls. All the balls would be out. He was really good with the balls.
Yep.
You know, I hear myself on this thing, and I have to wonder, is that really what I sound like? Dear God, I feel bad for the people that have to hear me.
Nobody really likes their own voice. I don't like my own voice.
You know, I'm just kidding. I can't get enough of my own voice. You lucky bastards. Beedoo, beedoo.
Hey, guys, I mentioned in the past that trained dogs for a living. I think the inferences from that study might be just a little bit overblown. There's no question that dogs are very good at making associations between sounds, i.e. words, and tangible objects or even intangible events. They're very good at discriminating on detail, and they can also generalize. It depends on the context and if they're motivated to even care is the big question.
Yeah.
But to actually understand the words innately is silly.
Hey, this is Randy. Driving this Florida man truck has its pros and cons, you know? Some people let me know they like us, and some people let us know otherwise. But I just had a Jeep from Alabama show me their boobies. Huh. I like this truck.
They call it the Hustle of the Hancock while watching Stormy Daniels on Peacock. I'm just kidding. I don't know. Someone would beat their meat to that one. Doubt it.
Hey, Shando, EZ, Heather. Yeah, I'm back over here in Germany. Just came back from a fantastic restaurant. And they give you a bottle of Jameson at the end and however many people in shot glasses. First time I had Jameson. Normally a bourbon guy, but that's the first time I had Jameson. And I love it. So I'm with you on the Jameson now, Shando.
What a great idea for every table gets a bottle. See,
what
after
is this
dinner?
Restaurant that just comes by and gives you shots at the end of the rest of the
they
meal?
They give you the bottle. Here you go, kids. Drink up. That's my kind of play.
Hey, Shan, Star Trek guy here. What's I got that, a Star good Trek? Mind to beam over to the studios right now, set my phasers to trans, and turn you into a Uhura and take you from galaxy to galaxy with your pants down.
The Sandhill Crane is the ribeye of the sky. Ah, the reason okay. You can't get them here in Florida is because I guess they say it's a breeding area.
It's protected.
So they're protected. Yeah, yeah. But out in the Midwest is where you can go hunting them, like duck hunting. And those are the craziest videos because I guess they wreak havoc on the crops over there. But they're yum-yum.
They bang their head against the window out here. So.
Yeah, they just beat their head against our reflective windows here.
Hey, what's up, Shando? Heather, easy, Sparky 352. Wow. Hey, man, I just wanted to call and say, man, it's been a great show. I've been listening to you every night when I go to work. I miss the show during the day. Sorry I don't get to contribute so much anymore. I don't want to contribute when I'm drunk anyway. Hey, great show, guys. Good to hear you on Bubba this morning, Shannon. Be-do.
That was gone this morning.
Well, you were there yesterday. Yeah. Same video yesterday, show guy. Right.
Scenes like these are happening all over the galaxy right now. You could be next.
Sweet Liberty, my leg!
I'm glad we have her, but Lara Trump is going to be spread ridiculously thin because now she's got to find north of, 100 new candidates?
Yeah.
To primary all those bastards that stabbed us in the back with that bill. Man, yep. I'm speechless.
But oh, sorry.
I want to know if that cop still has her job.
Oh.
And does she feel comfortable with her fellow police officers backing her up in a shootout?
She no longer has that job, and it's unlikely she'll ever work as a cop again.
Oh, but she does love them behind her.
Yes, all of them in a row.
Hey, guys. And Heather, Kevin, and Navarre. Look, those cops, evidently they were texting back and forth, and they had like a playbook on how to seduce these women cops. Evidently there were some other women and cops that we don't know about that they were doing this with, and they kept tweaking it and this, that, and the others. In the 51-page indictment, it was there, or whatever the paperwork was, so check it out. All right, be-do.
I was friends with an emergency room nurse that often treated Bird Bullock, a sportscaster in the state of Florida, Central Florida to be exact. he would come in often needing to have gerbils pulled out of his bunghole. They would get stuck in there. He died of colon cancer. Beedoo, beedoo.
Oh, Lord. Hey, it's okay if you were off-topic guy, because I'm off-topic guy.
Hey, 500 grand, now he can divorce her and get half.
She got genital herpes on her hand because it's transferred through liquid only, and she's of age.
Okay. I got explosive diarrhea.
Okay. Really surprised that fake DJ didn't leave a remark saying that he was in 200-year administration, and that he's surprised that you didn't know that.
Yeah, white rapping guy, 42 yeah. years old.
Uh-huh.
Word. Get it on. Let's yeah. go.
Wiki, wiki, Ford wiki.
Gets too old.
Hey, there's the guy. Yeah, I second the thing. Don't say a ball. I got my German Shepherd, and she's climbing all over my car to find it. Beater, beater.
So not supposed to say
well
ball.
Well played, Jake.
Yeah, ball. Ball?
Ball?
Ball? You want to get the ball?
Well played.
Balls out.
How about a 6-1? You can't have six.
Kate just said blue balls. Been masturbating ever since.
Something tells me Kate has realized her powers.
Oh, she knows what she's doing.
And you know, blue balls.
She specifically said blue balls.
Which the rest of the remarkers currently have.
Avery. Sparky Avery doesn't want to contribute when he's Avery drunk. Avery will. I'm glad I don't follow that rule.
All right. Those are all of today's, this week's, in fact, remarks. Thank you for leaving them. We do it twice a day. Got to have the app to do it. It's powered by the Morris Family Farms and Morganic Meats. We'll take our final break here. We'll come back and wrap it up for you. And good news, we think we found a massive door in Antarctica that leads to the center of the Earth.
Where Hitler is, I think.
Yeah, he's there.
It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network.
Pick.
Lenny Kravitz is now 60, and there is a picture floating around of him shirtless at 60. I mean, it is disgusting how absolutely ripped he is
him
at
and
60.
The boss in his Sidney Sweeney.
Oh, I don't understand Bruce Springsteen's Sidney Sweeney pose with his boobs out. He's had some facial work done, but Lenny Kravitz, my God, dude. Poor woman on a metro train station in Bengaluru, India, thought she caught a security guard on camera allegedly masturbating and staring at her. However, they acknowledged the woman's concerns at the transportation department in India, but they did say she may have misunderstood his actions. You see, the guard in question has itchy skin, and he's on medication. It appears that he felt a strong urge to scratch his groin area at the time. Additionally, he's squint-eyed, which is medically certified. I mean, he's got a card in his wallet that said...
squint-eyed.
Squint-eyed. I'm officially squint-eyed. So, you know, therefore, when he started scratching his groin area and glanced in her direction, the woman on the other platform may have interpreted as staring, see, because of the...
Squint eyeing.
You know, you know a lot of people that have squint eye.
Yeah, they have to like look really.
I remember, yeah. I have
and
my wife's Korean. I remember the day she was diagnosed with squint eye.
Yeah, he's got itchy skin. It happens sometimes.
I mean, if someone's just scratching themselves, they're not really, you can't really masturbate with from outside your pants.
Yeah, but if he was giving her like that straight up, like I'm looking deep in your
the
soul,
red stare, yeah. Squint eye. Because when your eyes are squinted, you could be looking left or right. Mm-hmm. I don't really know. Medically certified squint eye, by the way. That's it for us. Thank you for a great week of radio. Thank you, EZ.
Thank you.
For a great week of radio. Heather, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you to this wonderful, wonderful audience. I appreciate it. We're back on Monday, 2 Eastern, 1 Central. My good friend Bubba the Love Sponge will get the network kicking in the morning. He's on fire and pills. After that, Don Miller, hysterically funny Don Miller Show. We'll see you on the Florida Man Radio. I'm Shannon Burke. Have a great weekend.